Starship, Rokan Show with Anna DeBlancis for another day of broadcast insolence.
Life without a fighter jet, Ro. How are you going to survive?
All right, well, I've done some math, and I do have some Powerball tickets for tonight.
For all of us?
Well, we have some for us. I bought some for us. If we all win on the Powerball, I will not be able to buy the fighter jet. However,
really?
I have done the math. If I win on my individual tickets, as you just heard in the John Williams, L.F. Jarrett's presentation there.
Right. Great. It's really great. Totally identified with it.
That they will, that, you know, that at some point you gotta go out and buy your own tickets too. And then never show up at work again and don't face your coworkers after you've won.
Don't pick up the phone, right?
Right, exactly. You don't do that.
Disappear.
If I do win the $620 million tonight, I still will be able to buy my fighter jet.
Huge.
So there's that.
Yeah, huge.
I got that. And I'm getting a monkey.
I got a pretty good feeling we're gonna win this one. I just got a hunch.
What is that?
You know.
I'm starting to lose faith.
Aw. Aw, little Violetta.
It's just so hard to lose. I get so excited, and then it's just ripped away from me.
It is funny that as ridiculous as this is, I mean, you literally have a 1 in 320 million person chance. You have or 302 million chance, and there are 320 million people in the country.
It's like,
right?
Everybody gets one ticket, and yours is supposed to be called.
Yeah.
Every man, woman, and child in America.
Yes. So that's, you kind of look at it like
But somebody
that.
In South Carolina in this small town got it by themselves. Aren't you surprised it's only one person?
Why is it?
There's so many people buying
tickets. We don't know if it's a one person. We just know it's a single person.
Just one ticket.
One ticket rather than sharing the pot.
Yeah, why didn't five people around the country win?
No, you don't know if they're sharing the pot.
No, why weren't five winning tickets sold? Why one?
That's the point.
One winning ticket.
It's rigged. I want to recount.
I mean, maybe they put like,
because the Powerball was five. That's the least likely. I've done all the math on this.
I picked a Powerball that was six.
I had both the five on the Powerball and the Mega. The whatever that ball's called on the Mega. Is it called the Powerball?
It's the Mega Ball.
Ball. Yes, I had a five. Yep.
Which ball is it?
The left one's bigger.
Yeah.
And then I have a Powerball ticket, and I also have my Powerball ball.
So don't you win something?
Yes, I win a dollar.
We still got our ball for tonight. That's the point. We got one ball left, and we got it for tonight.
We're starting
one. I thought we had a couple.
Well, we got between the Mega Ball and the Powerball. We got the Powerball is left. So we got the Wait. Powerball left, and I'm feeling good about it.
Okay.
Okay.
Just put them in a safe
place. This could end up being one of those deals where it could keep rolling too, you know.
Could get up to 1.6 billion.
Absolutely.
I'm not interested in the very big ones anymore. Now we just want a smaller nut.
You want 40 million?
Yeah.
I think we should take Violetta off our pool.
No,
because
I'm just
one last person and we have more chances
here.
To win.
And right. I'm changing my mentality on everything. We don't need five tickets. It's only one ticket. And, you know.
I can't keep track of all these lottos. There's too many.
We got to change something up. We got to do it different this time.
I mean, oh my God, are you people complaining? We could win
yes.
640 million. I think it's 40 now. 640
million? 640
million.
We could win 640 million. We got the Powerball left. We're going to be fine.
It's like the consolation prize, 640 million.
Right. And did you buy your tickets downstairs? Because I have won two $10 tickets down there.
Right? Yeah, he's our guy.
He's our guy. Yeah.
He
Mr.
is.
Patel.
He's had a winner, too. Yeah. He asked, Rolga doesn't get his fighter jet now. And I said, no, we still have Powerball.
That guy sold a $550,000 winner.
That's right.
Downstairs.
He's very happy about
that. And we're not going to tell anybody where this is because it's just we don't want anybody to know because it's like a little hidden gem of a magazine stand, of a newsstand.
It feels like South Carolina or wherever the winning
it's the best newsstand out there in Chicago.
It is.
Oh no, it's super fancy down there.
No,
so much
nice,
imagine remote, what the South remote. Carolina one looked like. Broken doors swinging. literally with a raccoon walking through with you and trying to claw its way into the cheese nips.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, this is just not going to work for me.
You have to rip the ticket out of a raccoon's hand.
Right.
But I think statistically, those are the places that win.
I know.
I believe that. I don't know about statistically, but it just seems that way.
Yeah. Maybe they're just shining some you know, good vibes.
No, wait a second. Which one did you want? Did you want the Powerball or the Mega Million?
You can make a lot of raccoon stew with $1 billion.
I can't press the button in on the computer because Boot Goober's not here. And I was seeing Gilbert get back. He's on vacation, though. He'd be back in 2 weeks.
Cousin Cooter, what would you do if you won $1 billion?
I would get me a fighter jet.
Oh, popular decision. Maybe you guys could go halvesies and just split a fighter jet. That'd be nice.
I would like one of them boats you put out on the big pond. Got a big fan on the back of it.
A gator boat, huh?
I like when, yeah.
Oh, those
boat.
Are cool.
Yeah, I like, yeah. Get me one of them.
Yeah, you can fly through the swamps.
Yeah, sometimes I put little, then I get the little wheels. I take off the off at the grocery store, at the cart grocery store. I put them on the bottom, and then I ride it on the street.
That's a great idea.
What, would you still be eating roadkill and barbecuing it or putting it on the grill?
Good eating. I'm not going to give
it. That's never going to
change. I ain't going to give a good eating.
He'll get the high quality meat, though, the high quality possum and raccoon. The choice cut.
Fresh. Just got to make sure that, that the possum, you know, wasn't killed more than a day ago on the road.
Yeah, it's not good with the humidity down there in South Carolina.
I just got to say, I'm just sick and tired of these poop-kicking states getting all the lottery winners. I'm just tired of it.
It's true. It feels that way.
Never happens. Of all the people that live in New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, you never hear of a downtown of any of these things ever happening there. In these population centers. Now, what does that say?
It's rigged. I want a recount.
It's spreading the wealth.
We've had our winner here. Remember the $40 million guy?
That's chump change.
That's nothing. That was years. That was decades ago.
Talking billions.
No, there was one not too long ago in Illinois, wasn't there?
Yeah, but it was in Red Boob or something. What was it called?
What
was that called?
Red
it was a red.
Boob,
it was
red. It was not Red Boob. I can assure you
was
that.
Red Bud. Red Bud. I remember just part of the body. I couldn't remember which one it was. Red Bud, Illinois. I mean, come on. Had you ever heard? Our whole lives, we have lived in Illinois.
I hadn't.
Have you ever heard of Red Bud, Illinois?
No.
No.
I don't even know where it is.
Exactly.
Might as well be Kentucky.
I think it is closer to Kentucky than it is to us. That's where it goes.
That's not even Illinois. Person.
No.
It was $400 million, and it definitely was an Illinois person. So.
Yeah.
But that was in Illinois. But, you know, again.
You're saying, not the population you're saying an center. Urban center.
Right.
It should be a city.
Yeah. I mean, it's.
Right here. It should be on Wacker and Columbus is where it should be.
I'm just going to tell you something. Once you get south of Springfield, Illinois is Mississippi. So it's just. there are no two ways around it.
Well, it's not urban, so that's your point. You have all these all the population that's in these urban centers, and you really do not hear of it. Yeah.
But it's all random, right?
Not even Springfield, though. An hour south of here,
right?
I'm gonna go with Elburn.
Nah, I got you know
Elburn. Like 2 hours.
I'm gonna go south of Springfield. I'm being a little kind, but I'm gonna go south because Bloomington Normal is beautiful, right?
Oh, great town.
That's a very sophisticated town.
That's where I would retire. That's how much I love it. Yeah. Fear the bird.
It's a great town. But there are some places down. You get south of Springfield, man. It's sort of like you don't want to pull over. You sure do have pretty mouth.
Oh, God.
Thank God they don't have a lot of trees down there they can tie you to. It's mostly just corn stalks. You can get away from that. All right.
Stop.
I have got. Hold on a second. Let's find out from Judy what's happening in the news at the bottom of the hour.
We'll have the latest on those bombs sent to high-ranking Democrats as well as others.
Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater and Joe Donlan, weeknights on WGN-TV News at 9 o'clock.
All right, let's check now. Ben Bradley, he is standing by in the WGN-TV newsroom, and he's got thoughts on what's happening in our little world here.
How much do I have to pay to get Anna to tell people to watch Lourdes and Me at 4 o'clock?
That's
what's
not
all this
on
stuff
my
about
list
Micah
here.
And Joe?
I'll just slip that in next time. It's not
Please.
In my copy. But we love you and Lourdes, especially Lourdes.
Yeah, we especially love Lourdes. I don't know about you.
Watch Lourdes and Vern tonight at
Lourdes
four.
And that other guy today at 4.
Then Mike and Joe, they're the big show, you know.
They are the big show.
And plus, there's a little bit of a crush here on the show crush with, the Kevin and the Ro and the Joe.
Yeah. Great guy.
Deal.
Totally great guy.
Is that why Roquan Smith always gets a pass during Ro-Con's review?
Yes. We also love him, too.
Yeah.
He played great on Sunday. I'm not going to blame anything on Roquan. Roquan, as I call him. He does not like it when I call him Rokon.
You got that feeling, right?
Yes.
You asked him to sort of change his name or morph it a little bit, and he's yeah.
I'm not happy about that.
Yeah.
Understandable.
All right, what's going on in your news?
Well, so we've been checking into concerns about whether or not this whole terror threat here with the pipe bombs can spread to Chicago. Right now, local officials, including Mayor Rahm Emanuel, say there's no evidence of any credible threats here. Obviously, Barack and Michelle Obama's home was targeted in Washington, D.C. Their home here in Kenwood is guarded guarded 24/7, regardless of whether they're here, by the United States Secret Service. Mm-hmm. I was talking with Tom Mikitis, who's a terrorism expert. He studies that sort of thing at DePaul. And, you know, he was pointing out, you know, the lack of sophistication in these attacks. You know, on one level, you can say, boy, whoever this is or whoever the group is that did this, you know, this wasn't just one pipe bomb stuffed in George Soros's mailbox. There was also, this was a coordinated campaign to send several of these devices across the country. On the other hand, pretty naive to think that any of the people he targeted actually opened their own mail, or, you know, in the case of sending something to a former president, either Obama or Clinton, that the mail even goes to their house initially. It doesn't. It gets screened off site. So, you know,
as does mine. I would like to say, though, that there is, I don't think there's a logic to people who do these things. I don't think they're necessarily intending to kill anybody. I think they're intending to send a message, and that if they hurt anybody, then they've done whatever they were going to do. But because they're addressing it to these people, that's what their expression is here. It's hard to get in the mind of madmen.
Right. It is.
But that is you get the sense of that. The Unabomber was a unique case, and this is why the Unabomber was sought so specifically, because mm-hmm. he was very meticulous in what he was doing. It was targeted people who would not be expecting it, mm-hmm. and it was... And no one could figure out the pattern of why mm-hmm. he was targeting these sort of mostly academics, and no one could figure it out.
And the Unabomber made a lot of his own raw materials that went into those bombs, which of course made it harder to trace. You know, right. Nowadays, you know, they can access, you know, credit card records to see what you bought at Home Depot, or to see, you know, a particular type of chemical that's used in the bomb. Who purchased that?
Right.
You know, so we're talking about a very different climate nowadays, but boy, no less scary.
They will catch this guy.
It seems like it.
A woman, but I'm assuming it's a guy. I think they're going to catch this person fairly quickly.
Yeah. So we're following that story. Also, a teacher from North Shore Academy High School in Highland Park arrested, charged with child pornography and sexual assault. This teacher used to teach at Loyola Academy. We believe the victim may have been a former student, not sure which school. We're covering that story for you today on the news at 4 o'clock. And did you see this one? This qualifies as probably one of the more disturbing local stories I've seen in quite a while. An ex-law student from Niles allegedly terrorized a teenager who he had met in an online chat room for years. She had apparently sent him, you know, naked pictures early on, and then for years he's accused of threatening to release those photos unless she made new sex videos for him. And according to the Tribune's reporting, he is accused of being very specific about his demands, what he wanted her to do, and this went on for quite some time.
All right.
Covering all that for you today on the WGN News at 4.
Thank you, Ben.
We'll also have a few uplifting stories. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that was dark.
I'm sure you won't. Yeah. All right, let's check in now. Judy Pilak standing by with the WGN News in 2 minutes.
The full weight of our government is being deployed to conduct this investigation and bring those responsible for these despicable acts to justice. We will spare no resources or expense in this effort. And I just want to tell you that in these times, we have to unify. We have to come together and send one very clear, strong, unmistakable message that acts or threats of political violence of any kind have no place in the United States of America.
President's got a rally tonight, though, that he's heading off to. So it'll be interesting to see if he maintains that tone at the rally.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of doubt it, but we'll see.
Doesn't seem like he'll cancel that appearance. Seems like that's still on the books for tonight.
Mark Remillard is joining us from New York City for ABC News. And, Mark, thank you very much for being with us. Coming up in a few minutes, Brad Garrett is going to be with us, as well as a former FBI counterterrorism expert. And in terms of, I just saw Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, has been talking about this. He says that there isn't a specific verified threat against any other targets in the city other than what they have received here at the Time Warner Center. Do we know at this point if other media outlets around New York, which obviously has very, very many of them, are on any kind of special security alert?
I don't have information about all the different networks, but certainly various media outlets are taking precautions to make sure that there are, you know, any potential package coming in would be intercepted, much the way that it was at CNN. And that CNN package, as Bill de Blasio has said, is the only threat that we know of, and we haven't heard reports of any other media outlets receiving any packages. It's getting later in the day now, so presumably, you know, most mail would have been delivered already. You know, but the question still remains, as we have seen now over the course of 2 days. Yesterday, the device being arrived at billionaire George Soros' home, and then now today, these five other devices or five other packages. Question will be whether or not there are more out there or more being sent, and will we see more tomorrow? That does remain a serious question.
Interesting that George Soros' home in New York, state of New York, up the river there from New York City. It's fascinating that this person was able to figure out where George Soros lives and what the address of the Clintons is, the mailing address of the Clintons.
Yeah, that's true. Those are not things that are generally easily obtainable, and maybe that's something that authorities will look into, is who may have had been privy to that information. Certainly, we know that the packages at this point are being looked at and scrutinized from what parts were used, where were they purchased, and then the mechanics of the device. How were they assembled? How experienced are they? Are they rudimentary? Are they you know, an amateur level? Are they more advanced? And so those are things they're looking into, no doubt. We also know that certainly they're going to look for you know, fingerprints, DNA that may be available on those envelopes, on those packages. And then where and where did they come from, and what was the sequence of shipping here? Because, you know, you have six suspicious packages, all that would appear to have been sent within a short period of time, and therefore they're arriving at a very similar point in time. And so that's all part of the investigation that will have to be determined, and to see whether or not, you know, as they look to see who's responsible from this. Well, also what we understand from the packages is that there was no communication inside them, nothing, messages that appeared to have detailed the intent behind this, but, you know, you can draw some breadcrumbs between who the recipients were and maybe why these things were sent.
Mark, clear something up for us. They all were sent through the mail, right? None of them that you know of or that has been reported were actually dropped off by anybody? Is that the working theory?
I have not seen that any of them were dropped off by anyone. The package at CNN, which we have seen a photograph of, did have postage stamps on them, and according to CNN themselves, having been the target here, they said sources within their organization said that it was delivered by a courier. So we know that, at least for CNN, and then we also understand from the Secret Service that the package to the Clintons and Obamas were intercepted during routine mail screening services, and as well, also worth mentioning, the package that is believed to have been addressed to Representative Maxine Waters, Democratic representative, was intercepted at a mail sorting facility, a congressional mail sorting facility in Maryland.
The other piece of this is that I thought, maybe I misunderstood this, but I thought that the George Soros package was actually left in his mailbox by an individual as opposed to the mail. It came at a different time than the mail delivery.
That I am not aware of, or have not seen, and that that is possible.
There's been a lot of reporting.
There has been.
There's been a lot of different reporting.
And it was separate from the other packages. It arrived yesterday. These other packages have all arrived today. So potentially there's some information there. I don't have that firsthand.
It's also interesting the misspellings on the one that we've seen now to John Brennan at CNN. John Brennan is does not work at CNN. He actually works at NBC.
Right. He's appeared on their air, but he's not a paid contributor.
And with the return address of Debbie Wasserman Schultz, that's also misspelled from down in Sunrise, Florida. So there are a lot of, and these are all clues that they're going to be using to try to figure out who this is. It's based on there's a computer printer involved here. This is not handwritten. Those are fairly easy to pin down as well. Mm-hmm. At least the brand and type and exact models, and these models move around quite a bit. There is coding, especially if it comes through the U.S. Postal Service. There is coding that can take you back to the original mailbox it was mailed from. There is right. They have an ability to do that. We're going to talk with Brad Garrett in just a few minutes about that, because he's an expert on those kinds of things. But I would imagine maybe the downfall of this particular terrorist is that he is sending so many things out simultaneously that it's going to kind of lock him down here.
Potentially. Yeah, potentially. And that's what, is different here with some of these other people who have utilized the mail system to the mail devices like this. If you think back to, the Unabomber, sometimes years in between packages, he drove hundreds of miles to mail them. Versus this, you have a multitude of packages being sent within a must-have, or what it would seem to be, within a short period of time, which may help locate or centralize the location within a certain radius of sheer possibility, or that may signal, and certainly Brad Garrett can speak more to this, but certainly that may also signal whether or not there was a group of people, because if you had the belief that some of these packages were sent from, let's say, one state, and then at a similar time sent from another state, that would likely indicate that there was more than one person involved. And so that's all part of that sequence of shipping that investigators will certainly be looking to figure out and utilize as they try to narrow down who this might be. But you mentioned that Debbie Wasserman Schultz return address, and this is someone who, as well, besides all of the addressees of these packages, has been a target of political criticism, a controversial figure. And we also understand that the package that was addressed to Eric Holder, former Attorney General Eric Holder, actually did not get delivered and was sent back to Wasserman Schultz's offices in Florida, or residence in Florida. I don't know which one it was specifically addressed to, but that has forced some evacuations, and there was some confusion about whether a package was sent to her. We do not believe one was sent to her, but one was actually returned, because that was the return address that was placed on the envelope.
Right, and the same return address that was placed on the envelope that ended up at CNN as well was to Debbie Wasserman Schultz's office. So
right.
All right.
In fact, actually, as well, CNN, the one to Clinton, the one to Obama, and the one to Soros. We do believe all were addressed from Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And again, authorities don't believe that she was in any way involved at this point.
And the name, at least on the CNN one, was misspelled. So it's an interesting trail. And when you stop and you think about, what sort of a mind would do these kinds of things, the mind reels with concepts of who's doing it. But you never know.
You don't know.
And you think that there are times you think people have really specific political motivations, or they are motivated by something they saw in media, or they're motivated by something that a politician said. And then once these people get arrested and they're talked to, they just are just straight crazy. It's really, there isn't like one thing that necessarily ties them down. And that's, this isn't really a political motivation as much as it is just an outcry of, of aggression based on somebody who's got a bigger psychological problem. So we'll have to wait and see. There's a lot still to come. Mark Remillard, thank you very much. Appreciate
it, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Mark Remillard, ABC News. On the street in New York City, we're going to talk to Brad Garrett, ABC News crime and terrorism analyst, who also used to deal with I was very familiar with the Unabomber case and many of the domestic and international terrorism cases around the country, and his work with the FBI. So we'll talk to him coming up right after we find out from Judy what's coming up at the top of the hour.
Chicago police on alert, but no suspicious packages in the Chicago area.
The latest traffic brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems.
Guess who? Coach Q joins the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning, 8:40, ahead of the big Blackhawks-Rangers matchup.
I got Blackhawks tickets coming your way after 4 o'clock. Stay close. And that's for tomorrow night's game. We're going to be at tomorrow night's game.
We'll be there.
It's going to be
something.
Excited
about that.
Yep. So come out and see us.
Go Hawks.
It's all brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com or listen for your chance to win all regular season long. And we've got Judy Pollack soon coming up at the top of the hour from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Let's talk to Brad Garrett, formerly of the FBI,
yes.
Now works for ABC News as a security analyst. Brad, you're many, many years, obviously, you're very familiar with cases like this, domestic terrorism cases like this, and what you're seeing so far, what does your professional spidey sense tell you about what we've seen here?
Somebody's, I think, unsophisticated, probably. Anytime you use the mail stream, unless you're really good, you leave a lot of potential trails of getting caught. So we'll have to see. But, you know, obviously he has targeted sort of one group of people, i.e. Democrats. My sense would be that this is driven by anger, rage, resentment as to how Democrats view the world, which I guess would assume this guy maybe views the world more like the president. I don't know, but that seems to make sense. But be that what it may, I think the real question is, how do you find him? And I think the combination of the bombs themselves, which law enforcement have, and how he may have gotten them into the mail stream and or other ways. There's some indication that maybe George Soros's package was hand-delivered. And someone said that today that that a courier may have been used to take the package to CNN. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, the CNN one does not appear to have postmarking, at least on the image that they sent out. It's possible that could be obscured. I don't know. But it didn't seem to have any kind of, you know, processing from the post, any evidence of that on the package.
In cases like this, Brad, what now versus 10 years ago? It's much easier to track these things than it used to be. Obviously, there's cameras everywhere. If someone was approaching George Soros' house, I'm assuming that they're going to have security cameras around that house. But there's also just cameras on roadways that local law enforcement use for, you know, any series of issues that they encounter. So being able to track a vehicle, to be able to track a package through the mail system. A lot of people think, well, if they use the mail, that's not trackable. That's not true at all, is it?
No, it you can track a package, and let's if in fact he actually used the mail system, it had to go into the mail stream someplace. And is that someplace a common place for more than one package? That may tell you perhaps the geographical location of the bomber. It may also give the Secret Service, for example, an indicator of people they have in their database that might live in that region that have threatened in the past, maybe not sent bombs, but have threatened the mm-hmm. president or somebody else. And so it's a combination of all of those things combined with the potential forensics you could get off of all of these bombs, DNA, fingerprints, etc.
Right.
That could lead you to somebody's doorstep.
Speaking of that, I know you're familiar with the Ted Kaczynski case, and that he, over time, left false clues in some of the bombs to try to mislead investigators and that kind of thing. Based on the sophistication of what you saw Ted Kaczynski do and what you're seeing here, how would you compare the two?
Apples and oranges. I mean, Kaczynski was so good that even bombs that they found, they couldn't find any DNA or fingerprints. I mean, this guy was so meticulous. And obviously, he mailed bombs for years, and they were never able to link them back to him. Mm-hmm. So I don't see, at least at this point, any of that going on with this guy. And I think they've got enough to work with that with some time, and hopefully not a lot of time, they'll be able to figure out who he is.
It is interesting, because you rarely see this. And this number of devices delivered on the same day. Now, there is a regional reality here. It's most of them are in New York City or around New York, within 50 miles of New York. But you got one in Washington and one in Florida as well. So that means that they were either mailed on the same day, if they use the mail service, or within a day or so of each other.
Correct.
And in doing that, and by constructing these devices and then by mailing them, if it's one individual, I think that more than six times increases the chance that he's going to be apprehended fairly quickly.
It definitely adds to it. Each bomb that you have, it's like crime scenes. Each crime scene that you have is another potential to identify somebody. And so, you know, they're sort of target rich in that regard as far as potential forensics.
It's, I can't remember if it was, which movie it was. It was Mickey Rourke. Who said, for everything you do right, oh, Body Heat. For everything you can do right in a murder, there are 30 ways you can F it up. And if you think of half of them, you're a genius.
Right. And William Hurt did not listen to him.
Yes, exactly.
Great
right.
Great point.
They show that at the FBI Academy, by the way. There's a whole thing on that. All right, Brad, thank you very much. Appreciate it, sir. Let's hope
Thanks,
we catch
Brad.
This guy fast.
Let's hope so.
Take care.
Thank you. All right. Brad Garrett, ABC News.
Yeah.
I did not always remember that. And I can't remember if it's 30 now or whatever. Anyway, the point is, or there's 100 ways you can screw up, and right. if you think of 50 of them, you know, you're a genius.
The point's the same. There's yeah. still, you're always going to overlook something, and in this case, you hope they did.
Yeah. I have a feeling this is going to go quickly, but that's just me being optimistic about these kinds of things. But, man, the FBI has gotten so good at this over the years, and now, and there's just, it's very hard for anybody to do anything without detection.
Isn't that true?
When it comes to this kind of bad behavior. So let's just, you know, hope that we get to this. And you know, I don't exactly know what to think about what the president's going to do tonight as he goes off to a campaign rally. He said all the right things today from the White House.
And then you've seen how he speaks a different language at the rallies.
Yeah.
This is a serious day.
As he often does. All right, coming up next hour, right, we got Judy's News coming up right around the corner here. But then, Blackhawks tickets. We're going to be at this game tomorrow night. You could be at this game as well as the Rangers come to town. Original six matchup. It's great to see that. It's wonderful to see the New York Rangers at the United Center. And you can be there with us tomorrow. Stay tuned for your chance for tickets. And then coming up on the other side, we see that the Dow took a bit of a header today. The markets took a bit of a header. Susie Sunshine will join us, tell us what's going on there. Richard Roper's here later on in the program to tell us about a couple of movies I think you should not miss. He thinks you should not miss. And then we got, it says here, Bruce Rauner on the show. I don't know why it says that.
Is Bruce Rauner
I think Erica Harold is going to be here, I think is the case.
Because we had Kwame Raoul yesterday,
yes.
opponent in the Attorney General race.
Steve Cochran Show celebrates most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. North Shore Wine and Spirits Festival.com brings you Judy Pilax News. The Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis and Susie Sunshine is joining us. She's our official financial analyst. She's better known in the business as Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities for Aviva Investors, which is a gigantic thing.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah, kind of a big deal. But we just call her Susie Sunshine, which is, I think, sort of dismissive. I don't know.
Yeah.
We probably
I'm not sure,
be.
Really. She's kind of bigger than the name.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, let's talk about the Dow today, down 600. But the S&P and the NAS, everybody taking a dive at the end of the day. And there were reports that there was a panic sell off. What do you make of this?
Well, there's a lot of emotion in the market right now. So the S&P closed the day down a little over 3%. NASDAQ, where you see a lot more tech stocks in that index, that was down over 4%. Dow Jones, in this case, Ro, you like to look at the Dow, it was down slightly less. It was down about 2.5%. And what we're seeing now is we're in the thick of earnings. This is a heavy, heavy week for earnings announcements from companies. The management teams are out there talking about what's going on in their markets. And there's been a shift from what we heard in the second quarter. Now we're in third quarter. And in second quarter, we talked about tariffs. They might be coming. We have sort of an idea, but not really, of what it's going to cost us. Now we're hearing concrete numbers. So suddenly the damage is being quantified. And some companies are really going to be affected by this. And the CEOs and the management teams are talking about it as they look forward, what they need to look out for. And so that change from the rhetoric from the administration and the overall trade talks that was going on has now become reality and hard numbers, and the market is taking that in and trying to figure it out.
Let's talk more specifically about the tech sector and those sexy high-interest tech names from FANG, Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, and Google that have generated so much interest, and people have been pouring money into these. They're taking a hit. They're taking quite a beating with these latest swings in the market. And one of the interesting things about it that I wanted to ask you about is Netflix 1 week ago beat estimates, and it seems like this high growth company with a lot of momentum behind it, but it's also 9% down today. Kind of interesting.
Well, it's not just Netflix. It's not any one of those particular companies. It's the whole tech sector. And the tech sector has had a great, great run as people move to risk-on positions. They felt comfortable about the market. A lot of those companies appreciated in price because of that, because they were names that people felt good about, wanted to take a little more risk, and shareholders moved into them. Instead, right now, we have some concern because we have tech companies coming out, and they've talked about having a great run, incredibly strong demand, but now it's starting to soften. And so the next quarter, the next 2 quarters, they see orders softening, and orders are going to be down, and down more than the street expected. And that's caused the whole sector to pull off. Right behind that, we have the management teams from some of our big industrial companies talking about the increased costs of steel, the increase in raw material costs, and how profit margins are getting squeezed. And so now they're quantifying numbers and what that impact might look like going forward, and that's causing the street to back off as well. So we're coming back into a mode where valuation is coming down. People aren't willing to pay quite as much. We saw a good increase in the positives today were in things like utilities and REITs and staples, the safety stocks. People are stepping away from risk and trying to hide in the safety, trying to figure out how this playing field is going to look when we go forward 3 to 6 months.
Well, you know, you talk about the emotionalism of the market, mm-hmm. and the news cycle has been so emotional. It's been for 2 years, even longer, really, but incredibly emotional. And there's been this, there's been great hope, you know, with tax cuts and things like that, at least on the corporate side. Investors have been happy with those. And now, you know, the president fainting toward, you know, another tax decrease for middle class people, which doesn't seem to really be, I don't think it were actually in the political cards, because even his advisors are like, well, yeah, you know, we're thinking about it. But it doesn't seem like Republicans are going to want to come back and necessarily do that, given the debt and the deficit. And I guess that's the big question. Is the debt, the deficit, are those numbers and rising interest rates spooking the market as well?
Of course they are. So we're getting the deficit numbers out. It's bigger than was expected. We don't see a big change in that. We are looking at the great benefits that happened early on in the year, and the market ran up because of it from those tax decreases. But now we're facing headwinds because we have the talk of tariffs. That talk is continuing. There doesn't seem to be an end in sight. There's certainly no resolution. And at the same time, we are getting some underlying numbers, the local U.S. economy. So we had the PMIs released today. The PMIs for the U.S., which talk about a producer manufacturing index, it's a sign of strength. The U.S. economy, PMIs were very strong. Europe's were a little soft. So while the U.S. is doing well, Europe is looking like it's, you know, softening a little bit, maybe not as strong as we thought. That's going to put pressure on the U.S. dollar and interest rates. As the Fed likes to look at that strong U.S. market, they feel comfortable rising interest rates. But when we have those rising interest rates, the U.S. dollar becomes attractive and gets stronger. It makes our products more expensive to the rest of the world. So businessmen are looking at this cycle and saying, I don't know, it doesn't sound great for U.S. companies. What does that mean overall? We're going to take a step back and evaluate this, because now as the pieces come together, this could mean increased costs, lower profit margins, and that might affect what I want to pay for a company.
I want to ask you about spending. Consumer spending has seemed to be growing. We've seen a lot of reports of that recently, and there were some other reports about how holiday spending could be up year to year, and that all seemed good. And yet, then we've got the home buying slump that was reported just recently, and it feels as if, does that tell us that there is this short-term spending, but maybe the long-term purchases people are putting off? Is that some kind of something you would look at?
Well, we did see existing home sales came out today. That number was the lowest that it's been in quite some time. And so we do expect to see an ebb and flow due to weather, due to circumstances, what that number actually is. However, we can say it was a little soft. We are looking at rising interest rates. So first-time home buyers are going out and looking at a higher interest rate than they've seen in pretty much the last 10 years.
Right.
And there's psychologically for them, that makes them step back a bit and think, I don't know, how expensive is this going to be? This is completely different than someone who maybe already bought a house, potentially in the 80s or 90s, and paid double-digit interest on their mortgage. So it's really a change in perception. And I also think that we're looking at a generational shift. Remember that as the millennials age in and become home buyers, we haven't seen them, case in point, Kevin, really move out to their own locations, their own homes.
He's like got his own place.
He just moved out.
The rent's too damn high.
It took them a while, but so they stayed home longer. They're not rushing to get out because it's comfy at home, and mom makes great snacks.
No, it's because we can't afford to move out. That's why.
Yeah,
and your mom does your laundry, Kevin.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's it. I'm gonna stand up. I mean, I gotta stand up for my boy.
Mom's an incredible cook too. That's kind of
no.
Hard
to wait
say.
A second. She is. You're making this worse.
She's dropped things off at the station. It's pretty incredible.
Never had her meatloaf. To me.
Oh, her carrot cake, outrageous.
All right, then you're right. Okay. All right. So point made. I guess the question I think for most people right now is, what does tomorrow look like? What do the next few days look like? Do we expect this to be part of a larger sell-off? Because we've been waiting on one, haven't we?
We have been waiting. Remember also, the market hasn't corrected itself in a long time. We've been on this nice upward trend. Nothing's really backed off. And so now suddenly, we like to talk about how far down the market is today. Remember that this happened just last week and 2 weeks ago, and it came right back. Yesterday, we had a really strong day in the market, making up for the day's losses from the prior day. So I think that we're going to see that volatility. We're still in the thick of earnings. There are a lot of companies that still are going to come out with announcements and discuss what's going on, and that is going to cause the market to continue these gyrations because investors are going to react to it. So I would say be prepared for volatility. That commentary and the concern about overall global situation, what's going to happen, strength of the U.S. dollar, tariffs, what's happening between different countries, administrations, and how that trade's going to work and how it impacts our companies, that's going to dominate the headlines and make investors very careful about where they've placed their money.
How would you characterize earnings reports so far, though? Have they been terrible, just about what's expected? Are some beating the estimates?
It's been a mixed bag. We've seen some great numbers from some companies where we saw Boeing report, and it was very strong, and we see them producing more planes faster than expected at higher margins than expected. We've had other big industrial companies come out and say, steel is costing us more, and it's compressing our margins, so we're going to earn a little bit less than what we expected. So we've seen both sides of it, and I think that's really the key to this earnings season, is that we're seeing both sides of it. It's not looking at the world through rose-colored glasses. This is now quantifying things into dollars and cents, and what are those actual costs going to be? Because now we have a better handle on it. And that's where investors are really sharpening their pencils and coming back down to reality.
When she says rose-colored glasses, she means row apostrophe S. I have colored glasses.
Right,
that
but you don't seem
like
rose-colored on most days,
no,
though, I would
no,
just
they're,
say.
No, they're,
kind of
they're very
gray
dark.
And
dark, very
stormy.
Color.
Yeah, not good. But the market is almost 10% off its high.
It's
right now
erasing gains
so
for the year.
That's right. So we're almost flat for the year. Peak, most recent peak to this level, the S&P is down almost 10%, and so we're seeing that pullback, and we're seeing this growing conservatism in the market. So anytime you see the stocks that are up are utilities, consumer staples, REITs, the things that pay dividends, the things that are considered very safe, low-risk assets, that means the market is moving into a low-risk mode, and it's stepping back from some of those more cyclical or higher-flying names that might be in industrials or technology.
All right. Susan Schmidt, I'm going to give her your full title.
Okay.
Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors, which is based now here in Chicago, which is pretty amazing, pretty amazing thing. And I would like to apologize on behalf of Anna for calling you Susie Sunshine for years. But.
Yeah, because I came up with it, right?
I know. I said
everyone believes that.
I don't think Anna was the genesis of that, but I appreciate the sentiment, Ralph.
All right. Thank you.
Bye, Susan.
Thank you.
I'm not quite sure what I got out of
that. You pinned that on me? Oh, my
I did.
Gosh.
I'm going to pin. Right now, I'm desperate. I bought a fighter jet yesterday afternoon.
Oh, no.
Did you sign
the paperwork?
And apparently you can't return them.
A little buyer's remorse there.
And once you drive them off the lot, apparently they really appreciate
what
we've been told.
Oh, my God. I spent $30 million on a fighter jet yesterday because I thought I was going to win the Mega Millions.
Oh,
and now, and I found out it's really worth about $12 million.
Hopefully you win the Powerball.
Yeah, and I just signed a note.
Did you get a good interest rate? Lock something in?
No.
Oh, I bet they aren't very good on those purchases.
It's bad. I figured, what do I care? I'm going to win the thing tonight, and that's what I thought.
Oh. Ouch.
Yeah, ouch.
You get hurt that way. You're supposed to wait till you get the actual money before you commit to these kinds of things, Ro. It's typically the way it goes.
I wonder if people thought they were going to win the lottery and then decided when they didn't, they sold off all their stocks today. Is that what happened?
Maybe.
All right.
Something's going on.
Let's check in with Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Mayor Emanuel says when you stoke the underbelly of darkness, there's a price.
Also, we want to tell you about this. Make Sundays your official night to tour the city, watch Chicago's best at 10 p.m., then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago. That's at 10:30 on WGN-TV. Most popular Halloween candy in Illinois?
Reese's.
According to Forbes, this is weird. It says Kit Kat. I thought it was Reese's as well.
Kit Kat.
I do like Kit Kat.
I see Kit Kat high on a lot of candy power rankings, and that's a head scratcher to me.
It is to me too. I'm a Twix guy.
Yeah, Twix are great.
Yeah, I mean,
Colorado Twix.
Kit Kats are just so blue.
Dude, you have to go to Colorado.
I get it. Because when you bite into a Twix, it's like soft and crunchy.
Oh.
Ha! Like just like in your head, it's like, oh, is it soft? No, it was crunchy. Oh no, what is it? I don't know.
Dude, let's get some Twix.
What is the...
Reese's got to be number one.
Well, Reese's... Yeah, I'm gonna tell
Reese's?
You know, wait. Stand by. We'll get to this. Because there is actually an interesting proposal on the table for
there
Halloween.
Is.
To move Halloween.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're killing Christmas and moving Halloween.
Oh, jeez. Now that's what I want to see Trump come out after. I want to see him come after the moving of Halloween. First, they killed Christmas. I brought it back. Santa Claus is dead. I brought him back. White guy.
White guy.
Now they want to move Halloween. I won't let them have it. That's kind of what I'm waiting on.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up, when we are discussing this, we will also be giving away a pair of tickets to come see the Blackhawks tomorrow night. We're going to be there, too. We're not going to be on the ice, though. Thank God. They're taking on the New York Rangers. That's going to be an amazing Original Six matchup. All brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. And listen to your chance. Listen for your chance coming up in just a few minutes to rip us off for this pair of tickets. Got it?
Got it.
Everybody okay on that?
Mm-hmm. All good.
Yeah, we're going to be there tomorrow. By the way, if you want to stop by,
go Hawks.
Say hello to us. We're at the Goose Island pub location.
Mm-hmm. Right by those high tops.
Yes, there's a bunch of... It's one of the restaurants in the concourse.
Mm-hmm.
It's outside the one something.
Yeah.
115, what is it? I always get confused. 116? 107?
I don't remember.
You'll hear us. Just follow the signs.
Omaha! I'm sorry. No,
and Hawks, by the way, coming off probably their best game of the year. They were outstanding last night.
Against a tough team.
Against first place team.
So. Yeah. So
fun start here for the Hawks.
Yes. 5-2-2.
That's right.
That's respectable, my friends. I was a little worried about the month of October.
Right.
I'm not going to lie to you. And I'm very happy with what I have seen so far. So it's going to be great. We're going to be out there tomorrow as well. So come by and say hello. Right now, Judy Pilak standing by. She's got the WGN News being brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems. All right. I have a proposal for you.
What's that?
You know, it's really funny. We did not think we have so many things coming up here. We got the live show at the United Center tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We have got next week. We've got a bunch of, obviously we're getting ready for Halloween and really more importantly, Judy's birthday. I mean, there's so many things.
The preparations.
That we have
Judy's birthday.
We have a gigantic Judy. We have a Judification, as we call it.
Where, show party.
Yeah, there's a show dinner next week that we're all preparing for. And that's on November 1st, and we haven't really planned a good Halloween idea here.
Mm-mm.
The last one we had was sending Violetta to my house to hand out the candy. She couldn't find any, and she was just squirting chocolate sauce in kids' hands.
Well, okay, to be fair, I gave them the option of baby carrots and the chocolate sauce. Most chose the chocolate.
Yeah. So we haven't really figured out what we're going to do there. yet for Halloween next week. I can't say for sure what it is that's going to happen to me, but I'm going to be dressed. I am going to be, I'm told, a full costume.
For Windy City Live?
For Windy City Live.
Oh, I love the costumes you guys do.
Just wear it straight here.
So elaborate.
Here's the thing. I won't be able to get out of it in time.
Oh, wow. So you're coming dressed.
I think I know what you're going to be.
Yeah. Well, it's...
There's got to be face makeup.
Let's just put it, I have never, in the 8 years or whatever we've been doing Windy City Live, I have never once not spent less than 2 hours in a makeup chair before the show for Halloween.
Well,
they do
now,
like,
you know how girls feel.
Well, they bring every in like day. These Disney, they literally bring in the Disney artists from LA to make us into other things.
You can tell. I mean, they're just, you guys just look incredible beyond what any person could do at home. I mean, it looks awesome.
It's
not even recognizable, you guys, sometimes.
I know.
And you're not wearing a mask or anything. It's
no.
Just, you can't tell who it is.
Who are you going to be? Is it a secret?
It is a secret
us?
Right now.
Can you just tell us, between
it's a
secret. Us?
It's, no, can't. But the point is, it's going to be, I don't even know, because I don't know how to even walk back here dressed
what?
As this.
Now you've piqued our interest.
Yeah.
You can't walk in the costume?
Well, I'm not sure. I think I can walk in it, but it's a little different on the top than it is on the bottom.
Oh,
I know, that's what she said.
Is it appropriate, the costume? Is it going to offend people?
I was just going to guess, but I think my guess would have offended
yeah, that's
everyone.
Yeah, where Kevin's going.
So anyway, what we got the point is that we're still working on a Halloween concept here, people. Oh, we're very busy.
We don't have to dress up here, though. I hate dressing up.
Well, we
yes,
have,
you do have to yeah. dress up. We're having a party.
Yeah,
yes.
We have a Halloween party.
Yeah, but I don't
at
have
work.
To dress up.
Yeah, you do.
Come
it's mandatory.
No, I'm
it's
not dressing up, so. I just got invited to a Halloween party this weekend. All of a sudden, I got to figure out a costume by Saturday.
Oh, I'm looking for a party.
Yeah, well, it's, yeah, no.
You know what? I find that these Halloween parties that the adults throw for themselves are just an excuse to sneak away into a bathroom with somebody else's girlfriend or wife.
What?
I think is really what that's all about.
Is that
parties you go
to? Yeah. That's I think what's going on. Because everybody dresses, they become really kind of, you know.
Uninhibited?
Yes, uninhibited, almost like, what was that Tom Cruise movie? Like
Top
Eyes Wide Shut?
Oh,
eyes,
right.
No, yeah,
it's
that's
like a giant sex party.
Yeah, everything's like,
mask
a, yeah. That's what
hopefully that's what my party is.
That's
Saturday.
I think what
we'll
all
see.
These adults are doing now with the with their parties.
Halloween parties are happening. Always the most fun.
They're totally fun.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
Yeah, yeah.
You lose kind of your senses of like who
inhibition.
Am I? Who are you?
Yes. yeah. Oh, isn't that sweet?
I lost my scarf once at a Halloween party.
Is that code?
No.
I'm looking forward to this party now Saturday.
Sailor.
I was really kind of...
My guess is the party here at WGN is not going to exactly be the same.
Probably,
is that?
Probably
let's
a little
hope
different.
Not.
Right, because it's a luncheon kind of a thing.
Very professional.
Right.
But you still got to have a costume.
Everybody's dressing as a bumblebee.
I wouldn't say very professional, but...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We saw a couple sexy nuns last year. I'm like, yeah. Wow.
Sexy
compared
nuns?
Compared to what yeah. Rose describing, I mean, come on. But you do. You should.
Well,
wear
you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you know these adults.
I don't really think so, Ro. You might be the only one who really does
I
that.
I think you do.
How many girlfriends? How many of your friends' girlfriends have you stolen over the years?
Nobody. I'm just saying that's what that's. But I see it happen.
Classic
how many
girlfriend
of my girlfriends
thievery.
Have been stolen is the better question.
rephrase that.
Yeah, but you know, you'd show up and then all of a sudden it's like, you know, what happened to my girlfriend? And you know, you're knocking on the door of the bathroom.
Hello, what are you doing in there?
Are you in there?
Why is there more than one voice in there?
Are you in there?
My costume got stuck. I haven't needed help.
Yeah. Is everything okay?
It's always in the bedroom where you put the coats. That door's always locked.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So
right.
Judy does know.
Yeah, pile
well,
of
I may have heard stuff from Ro.
Right, when the pile of coats is moving, you know that it's, you know, Judy is some other dude underneath the pile of coats.
Oh, gosh.
In her bumblebee outfit.
That's always my costume, the pile of coats.
Right, or the pregnant nun. And you're like, hey, wait a second. Where's the pillow? All right. Anyway, the point is, here is the proposal on the table.
Okay.
And you tell me if you think this makes any kind of sense. It's getting traction.
Okay.
That there is a movement to move Halloween, the celebration of Halloween, to the Saturday before the 31st of October.
Ah, kids these days just can't hang.
So it to be always on the weekend always, and never to fall.
Right. So the kids, the idea is for the kids. I think it's really for the adults, for the parties, for the pile of coats in June.
No, see, this is why you love it when it's in the middle of the week. Like in college, when it landed in the middle of the week, this is beautiful because people are going to celebrate. You could celebrate basically two weekends. Like if somebody's birthday is in the middle of the week, you celebrate the weekend before and after. It gives you an excuse to like party for a whole week.
Yeah.
And that does happen. Aren't people having parties this weekend? You just said you're going to one, Kevin.
Yeah,
I mean,
Saturday.
A lot of people are having them
right.
this
What's
weekend.
What's the difference? You can celebrate it whenever you want.
Still do it this weekend, and then the kids go out trick-or-treating on Wednesday. But you can't, like, just reassign the date because houses have to be ready with their candy. And
well, this would be a national. It would be by executive order of the President of the United States. And this is exactly the kind of thing that he'd like to do because it's, you know, it's blowing something else up. Halloween, Devil's Night.
Devil's Night.
We're moving it to Saturday. Much better. People who dress up as me automatically arrested, unless it's very flattering.
Well, then everyone will be arrested. You know, but as a kid, I do recall those Saturdays, Halloweens were great.
Oh, they were.
They
totally
were.
Because you could stay out later.
All day and all night of that candy.
Right. And you're not exactly like homework free just because it falls on a Wednesday or, you know, I mean, like the responsibilities don't go away.
Yeah, they do.
I kind of like, I'm old school. I'm with Kevin. I kind of think that the idea that's happening during the week, it gives you an opportunity to wear your costume to school.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Show that bad boy off.
Yeah. And
what school? Schools do not allow costumes anymore.
They
not
don't?
For a long
really?
Time.
What do you mean?
Yes,
my kids
do.
Could never wear a costume to school.
What? That's not accurate.
Well,
you mean no face
they went
masks.
To a Mennonite school, so that's a little different.
No, you mean no face masks. I know that we weren't
no
allowed to do masks.
No costumes.
What?
That's
and then there was always the one or two kids who didn't know and would show up with a costume.
Right.
Yeah.
I want Trump to go after this. Bring back costumes in school, Trump.
I had costumes. I'm roughly your kid's age.
Show off my
and I don't know about
you mean like in second grade and third grade,
yeah,
they're not
no,
allowed to
no
wear
costumes.
What?
That's,
what
the
hell?
It was your school.
Yeah, it
I don't
your
know.
School.
My daughter has one.
It's a public school in the suburbs.
I mean, is it because of the pregnant nun or because of the costume or the?
I'm not sure. We got to know at what point that they weren't allowed to do it.
I mean,
anymore.
You obviously can't bring like a fake toy gun or like a fake knife.
They have so many. They have rules because we've got rules sent home about what you can wear and you know what you can't. And
okay. What can't you wear?
Well, they don't, masks is one of them. They don't want the kids to be wearing masks, and they want something that because I think they have a designated window of time where they celebrate, and they kind of walk around the school. But then they have to be able to take it off quickly. It's not so a really elaborate costume even doesn't work.
Oh, like Judy at the party.
Like Judy at the party.
Oh, the coat.
Yeah, and the coat.
The coat costume
in the coat. In the coat, right in the coat.
Well, there are coat rooms.
In the pile of coats on the bed, yeah. She has to be able to take it off
Imagine
quickly.
Imagine some kid just walking to, you know, middle school with a coat on, a long coat.
Oh,
that
gosh.
Would be...
Mm,
no,
that
wouldn't work.
Problem. Yeah, work. See, this is the problem. This is why they don't allow costumes anymore. I don't know about the city, but in the suburbs, they also have times that you can trick or treat.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Okay. That's
oh, yeah.
Like
we got that in the city, too.
Standard.
Like 3 to 7.
Yeah,
it's called
yeah.
turn the lights off and
right.
pretend you're not home.
Yeah. Right. It's right. We got that. You're supposed to trick or treat until the sun goes down. And then after the sun goes down, it's 40-year-olds showing up in starter jackets with a jewel bag.
It's like, no.
And then you're like, oh.
Dude, you got any Kit Kats?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, please don't hurt me. All right, Kelly, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Kelly. 312-917-200 is our number. Go ahead.
Hi. My daughter's in elementary school in Arlington Heights, and they get to wear costumes.
See, how about that?
For the whole day?
Yeah. Very progressive in Arlington Heights.
Maybe Judy just didn't get her kids' costumes.
Oh. She just told them that. And by the way, there's no school today either, kids.
Kelly, did they have rules also, though, that things you can and can't wear?
Right, they do. No violence, no weaponry, no gore, all that kind. But yeah, they can still wear costumes.
Still get to wear costumes. That's nice.
What's left? What if a boy dresses up as a little princess? What do we do about that?
That's part of Trump's new plan. No.
Right. Sort of like, I'm Caitlyn Jenner or whatever. What's my name? Caitlyn Jenner.
Bruce Jenner.
Yeah. I mean, it is an interesting problem, though. So how old are your kids?
My daughter is 10.
She's 10. Okay. And is she going to go this year in school in the costume?
Oh, yeah.
What's she going to be?
She's Harley Quinn. I'm not sure who that is.
Oh, that's from the Disney Channel. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that she has a little costume in a bag, and we still need to buy a wig, and she's going to be all set. And
I think good. She's a singer, so.
All right. Okay, so that's good, right? Okay. All right, so that makes sense, and that's not gore, theoretically.
No.
Or scary, right. Or there'd be no weapons, except by
actually,
the...
I think she's a Marvel
Yeah, she's
person.
A DC she's a... Comics a hero.
Okay, yeah.
Right.
Whichever one of those, yeah.
The one, yeah. She's, that's a pretty cool costume.
Okay.
Well, she has the kids' version.
Yeah.
So it's a little less...
Sexy.
Naughty.
Right, because yeah. She was a villain in the DC comic.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, now this has all changed. All right, we got to stop this now. What do you think of the idea? I just want to get your thought on this, Kelly. Do you think that we should move Halloween to the Saturday before officially for the entire country?
I don't know. I mean, let it be. I mean, it's on the 31st. Let it be on the 31st. Yeah. Let's call the Sears Tower again. And
Keep going, Kelly.
Yeah, Kelly.
Yeah, I want to go back in time.
Kelly for mayor.
Kelly has my vote.
I want to go back in time, but only so far back, not completely back, because completely back is bad. I just want to stop it right at one moment.
Like when? What year would that be?
I'm not even sure.
2000s.
Yeah, 2004.
When we were 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when we were 10 and it was normal.
Yes, that's true. That is true about everybody, by the way. That's when you're 10, that's the one moment you think the world was perfect and we should just go back to that.
It goes downhill from there.
Well, because you weren't responsible for anything. You could figure out what's going on in the world, but you didn't have to pay a single bill.
No, that's true.
All right. Thank you, Kelly. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right.
Kelly has my vote.
All right. Let's talk to Carrie.
Got a few things figured out.
Hi, Carrie.
Hey, I just want to let you know, in West Springs, we have 3 elementary schools, and we have a costume parade around the block, and we have parties all afternoon.
Yeah. So parties all afternoon.
Celebrating. See,
all
they're right. Celebrating.
Making nice. Halloween great again.
I like that. I like
That's
that.
Mahaga.
Mahaga.
Mahaga. I got a Mahaga hat on right now. How old is your kid?
My kids are grown. I teach in Western Springs, and I enjoy it every year. I love Halloween because of seeing the kids dress up. And we also give prizes for most creative, most scary, most funniest. We're embracing it in Western Springs.
So now, wait, now the scary, are they allowed to have scary costumes?
Yeah, you could dress scary. You can be a Grim Reaper.
Could you have an axe in your head? Could you do one of those kinds of things?
Yeah, sure. We go for it.
You go for it. There's gore. Now, but you don't want sexy, though, right?
We do not do sexy in elementary school.
All right. Always steer clear of
good
sexy.
To know. Very yes. Important not
yeah,
to
we
do
enjoy
that.
It, and the kids love dressing up. I think we should look forward to it and let them just fantasize for the day and be whoever, superhero, whoever they want to be.
I agree.
This is why R. Kelly doesn't have an elementary school named after him.
Oh, gee.
The question is...
Hey, I love you guys. I listen to you every day. You're
thank you. Thank you, Carrie. Appreciate
Carrie
it.
Carrie and right. Kelly right. From Bye. Air. Yeah. I'm in.
Okay, I should add that we had a huge Halloween bash every year. Though.
What? Stop trying to move this.
No, because
I said there was nothing.
No. After school at night, because I did it a couple years. I mean, where we made way more money than we were supposed to for the PTA. So we did have maybe that was why we didn't allow them during the day, and then we had this. I mean, a huge,
I could tell that the Downers
party.
Grove School District just called Judy right now.
Thanks for the publicity.
I just texted all my friends and the moms, and I was like, remind me, did no costumes for our kids, right, when they were going to school. So this was Pleasant Lane in Lombard, I'm telling you.
And what did they say to you?
I can't be remembering.
There's a mad bomber out there, Judy. Don't give your home address
all right. Nobody has responded yet.
All right. Okay.
Judy's been drinking again.
All right.
On the air.
Let's find out from Judy what's coming up at the top of the hour.
Part 2 of our series on Bridge Over Lead Water.
Rocancho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Yes.
All right. We got a top 5. We have so much audio in the top 5. I'm going to get right into it.
We should.
Because there's so much going on here today.
It's the top 5 on the Rocancho.
5.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, here we go. checking in at
number five.
President has publicly condemned the suspicious devices mailed to Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, CNN, and other public officials. At least six devices have been found and are being examined by investigators. This is at the White House today.
The full weight of our government is being deployed to conduct this investigation and bring those responsible for these despicable acts to justice. We will spare no resources or expense in this effort. And I just want to tell you that in these times, we have to unify. We have to come together and send one very clear, strong, unmistakable message that acts or threats of political violence of any kind have no place in the United States of America.
The president is on his way to Mosinee, Wisconsin.
Oh.
To make
a rally tonight?
A rally tonight, to make a speech at a rally. And it'll be very interesting to see what he does when he gets there.
If he kind of talks, some of the far-right conservatives are saying that it's a plant, that this was done by the Democrats and that sort of thing. But the president hasn't said or tweeted anything to that effect at this point. He calls it a unifying moment in time. But you know how he acts when he gets to the rallies.
I know that on talk radio earlier today, there was one of the more famous voices of talk radio went off to immediately blame Democrats for this.
Mm-hmm.
How would they have any idea?
Any idea about what? About they would actually know who did it?
Yes. Yeah,
I can't imagine anybody other than the ATF and FBI or local authorities would have a hunch at this point. And they certainly aren't saying yet that. They're saying that it does look like it was the same person. They said that we're hearing that it was unsophisticated. You heard ABC's Major Garrett say that on this very program earlier. And that's not clear if they could have even exploded because of this level of sophistication. But we don't. The who, we don't know.
Right.
We just don't know.
Right. So I don't anybody wants to tell you that they know what's going on here or immediately assign blame to it. I mean, this is what we often find in these people is it's not what you think it is.
That's very true. That the motives are just hard to ever predict because they're from the mind of a madman.
Right.
And you're not inside their mind.
Right. Like the mass shooter that was from downstate and they St. Louis metropolitan area, the one who went after that took his gun to the Republican softball.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. He was from Belleville, Illinois.
Right. Yeah. That guy, I mean, it was everybody's, oh, look, he's a crazy Democrat kook. And he was just a kook.
He was.
Just
even,
a straight out kook.
You look at Ted Kaczynski. He hated technology. He said it was the, evil for man and that everyone should move to rural America. And so anything he connected to that were his targets.
Yeah,
would you ever have connected those dots? You wouldn't.
Right. I mean, so kooks are often just kooks. And us trying to assign them a position in the grander political argument that's going on here, we do at our own peril. That's not to say that people will act irresponsibly when they are faced with their own political fever. Right. I mean, there are people who do all kinds of stupid things when they're fevered up. I mean, there's people at rallies that are screaming inappropriate things at people and saying and doing, and there's pushing and shoving and punches sometimes fly. But this kind of an act, is a different level. I hope the president keeps up his take on that, though.
I do, too.
We'll see tonight. We'll see. I somehow think he's still wanting to be raucous this evening. And when he is, how is that actually going to play tomorrow?
Number four.
Bernie Sanders is at the University of Colorado Boulder.
Of course he is.
Okay. Stumping for a guy who wants to run for governor or is running for governor or a candidate for governor and also for a member of Congress.
Which one, man?
I don't know. It's one of them.
Is it Hinkenlooper? The one.
Dude, pass Hinkenlooper. The Hinkenlooper.
Hinkenlooper.
Get some loops, man.
You're going to get looped up.
Stuff rips.
Right. Hinkenlooper. It's like a cereal.
Oh, I'm hungry now.
Every time Colorado comes up, this is what
you have to do that. I know.
I don't know why
just
it is
the rule.
Anyway, so the point is that Bernie Sanders is in Colorado, and he's mad at the president.
He thinks he's a tough guy because he can throw low-income pregnant women off of a nutrition program. But when it comes to standing up to the dictator of Saudi Arabia, who is responsible for a gruesome murder, he is not such a tough guy.
This sounds just like my Thanksgiving dinner.
I know.
I have a relative who sounds just like him.
Well, Bernie Sanders now sounds like a guy doing an impression of Bernie Sanders.
It's it does. It's like Larry
such
David.
A character.
And it's like that extreme of like comparing two things where you're like, whoa, right. Grandpa, you just totally lost
all
your
of
argument.
A sudden, there's a pregnant lady who is now on welfare who should not have been, and they're going to throw her off the welfare. Would you please pass the candied yams?
And I'll get to the punchline soon.
I want the neck bone. Where's the neck bone?
She's pregnant and she doesn't have to.
Anyway, we have this pregnant woman who's living in the housing projects who used to have the Medicare. She doesn't have it anymore.
Pass the gravy.
Do love his heart, though, I'll tell you. But he'd be one of several 70-plus-year-olds who'd be running, because Joe Biden appears to be explaining that he will likely be running for president.
Yeah.
And so if the Bernie's in,
it's like the old
Biden's
guy Olympics.
And Trump's in.
This, you know, I knew this was going to happen when they started issuing Viagra. All right, hold on, there's more.
Today we tell Donald Trump, Mr. Trump, we are not going backwards into discrimination and prejudice. We are going forward and creating a non-discriminatory society.
Where are the Hawaiian rolls? I love Hawaiian rolls.
Bernie.
Hawaiian rolls are great, though.
I want the, where's the butter? I need a smear of butter on here.
Smear of butter.
All right.
And then in between that, they talk politics.
Right. That's mm-hmm. what he does. And where's the Dallas game on? It's my Thanksgiving.
Detroit.
Dallas game on.
All right. Let's check in with Judy, find out what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Look, up in the sky. It's a Humvee.
Outbound Stevenson. I'll do the traffic now.
Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater and Joe Donlin, weeknights on WGN-TV News at 9 o'clock.
Top 5-5 continues.
Number 3.
All right, Megyn Kelly inspired outrage yesterday when she defended the idea of kids dressing up in blackface for Halloween.
What is racist? Because so truly, you do get in trouble if you are a white person who puts on blackface for Halloween, or a black person who puts on whiteface for Halloween. Like, when I was a kid, that was okay as long as you were dressing up as like a character.
Okay. Was she a kid in 1860? When was she a kid? What is that? I don't know.
And it was an all-white panel, and so there was very little resistance to the comment. Maybe it's also it's her show. And so I think there wasn't an opposing viewpoint. It just sort of hung out there. She eventually issued this big apology to mostly her colleagues.
And what kind of characters are we talking about here? Like Casper the Ghost? Like, I mean...
No, don't. Just hold on. Let's listen to the apology, and then I want you to practice along, Violetta.
I want to begin with two words. I'm sorry. You may have heard that yesterday we had a discussion here about political correctness and Halloween costumes. And that conversation turned to whether it is ever okay for a person of one race to dress up as another. A black person making their face lighter or a white person making theirs darker to make a costume complete. I defended the idea, saying as long as it was respectful and part of a Halloween costume, it seemed okay. Well, I was wrong, and I am sorry.
She sounded a little emotional there. Didn't she?
Well, she's hearing it. When's the last time you saw a national news network really cover, and they did, their own their own big talents, missteps. I mean, you know, you didn't see, I don't think you saw this kind of coverage with Brian Williams. And Matt Lauer was sort of handled in a different way, too, where you sort of saw the colleagues' emotive after the announcement. But you saw Lester Holt do this story. You saw Al Roker go off on her saying, not only do you need to apologize to your colleagues, you need to apologize to people of color across the nation. You saw several other NBC colleagues come out and say how stupid and indefensible this is.
Yes.
They've really taken a strong, strong stance.
She's the highest their colleague. Paid television news personality in America.
In America?
Yes.
I did not know that.
She is.
They say she has a nearly $70 million contract.
Right. She is now the highest paid news personality in America. So, having said that, I'm sure at NBC they're like, all right, beat her up. Let's see if she'll quit. Wait, there's more of the apology.
I have never been a PC kind of person, but I do understand the value in being sensitive to our history, particularly on race and ethnicity. This past year has been so painful for many people of color. The country feels so divided, and I have no wish to add to that pain and offense. I believe this is a time for more understanding, more love, more sensitivity, and honor, and I want to be part of that. Thank you for listening and for helping me listen too.
So dramatic.
I know. Come on. I mean, just get up there and go, listen, it was wrong. I was, you know, and the world has changed since I was a kid. It wasn't right then. It's not right now. Thank you and good night. And I will take my $17 million check right now.
She really gets paid. She's really the highest paid, huh?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Highest paid news personality in America.
Number two.
Get ready to be freaked out by the Goldbergs? Freddy Krueger is going to appear. Robert Englund is reprising his role as Freddy Krueger and says that he's probably not going to be doing this much longer.
I just don't think I'm right for Freddy any longer. I'm too old. I would love to be invited into one of the Nightmare on Elm Streets down the line a little bit as a cameo to play maybe the professor of dream psychology or something. I think that would be a treat for the fans and a kind of a pun. It's like being it's like playing football on Sunday. You can't get out of bed on Monday after playing Freddy.
You know, it says here that this is the first time he's played Freddy in over a decade. That's not true. He played Freddy on our show. He showed up in a live show that we did in full costume as Freddy Krueger.
How cool is that? He had just nightmares to this day about that character he portrayed.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it turns out that those things are kind of sharp that he's got.
Really?
We're all wearing
to touch them.
Yeah. All right. And let's see, finally.
Number one.
New York Times teamed up with actress Niecy Nash to troll scared white people. At least the scared white people have been calling 911 on their black neighbors and other people who they're absolutely certain have done something bad.
Not for a charcoal grill. No charcoal grills are allowed.
You're scared.
Please leave me alone.
You're white.
African-American.
Illegally selling water without a permit.
But with cell phone cameras and social media, calling 911 on your black or brown neighbors just isn't what it used to be. Hi. I'm Niecy Nash, actress, inventor, and advocate for not calling 911 on black people for no damn reason. Into his new apartment.
Yes, that is actually your neighbor, Michael. Yeah, no problem.
Our records are actually showing that's actually his boat. Yeah, I know. Black people have boats, too, now.
Oh, gee. 1-844-WHITE. Fear.
Yes. It turns out 844 White Fear is a real phone number.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Call it.
It's WYT, by the way.
Mm-hmm, if you want to check it out.
844 White Fear.
I'm glad that hotline's out there now.
Yeah.
I think we need that.
All right.
She's talented.
Yes. We called the number. Here's the outgoing message.
Oh, I was just going to call it.
Based on your menu selection, we have determined that you are not in danger and probably just racist. In order to deal with this situation, you should put away your phone and move on with your day. Or if you're feeling particularly bold, you may introduce yourself and try being a person. Thank you for calling 1-844-WHITE-FEAR.
It's pretty organized.
It is. The New York Times is behind this?
Yeah, that's right. It says here the Niecy Nash and New York Times create the hotline.
Oh.
It's very calming. It might help.
It does. It does kind of. What?
Points
black
out some
black people have boats. What?
I know. It's hard to believe.
They do have a thing at the end of the this. It's a very funny bit. At the end of it, they say, if you see black people on a golf course, it's got a list of places you might see them that would be unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
Don't call 911.
Call it when black people are having a barbecue, taking a nap in a rec room, mowing the lawn, waiting for a friend at a coffee shop, golfing, shopping, enjoying a vacation at their Airbnb, going to work, coming home from work, working while at work, campaigning for office, swimming with socks on, delivering newspapers, buying a house, selling water, parking their car, using a coupon, and so much more.
Those all, I think, happened, right? I was sort of falling along in my mind. I'm like, yes,
that's
yes.
The point of that I mean, is that
she didn't make one of those up.
Right. All there have been instances in every single one of those in the last, like, month and a half where there have been 911 calls of people calling, you know, very, very upset.
There's a man at the soccer field coaching his son.
She didn't cover the Starbucks one, though, which was the one
she said,
coffee shop. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I didn't hear that one.
Okay.
Because that was the one. We're seeing some attention on this show.
Oh, 911. There's a black man sitting here, and he wanted to use the bathroom at the Starbucks. I've moved everybody into the cold case right now. Can you hear a
Oh, wait a second. Is this, we have the real Starbucks phone call? All right, here we go.
Thank you for calling 1-844-WHITE-FEAR. We are here to address your urgent concerns about black or brown people living their life near you. Please listen to the following options before making your selection. If you are indeed white and feeling scared about a black or brown person in your proximity, press 1. Warning. If hearing Spanish is triggering for you, please protect your ears now.
Algunos gringos creen que la policía es
cargada. Oh, no! Jeez.
This is it. We live in a wacky time.
We definitely do.
We live in a wacky time. Yeah. All right. I think it's time now to just close this up and welcome Judy in.
The top five at five.
Judy's News being brought to you by Cars for Kids. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Mm-hmm. And Richard Roper is here.
And Richard Roper is just joining us. I was just getting to that.
I know.
It's a very important thing that I need to tell you about here. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Richard is... now, what's interesting is that Richard has a number of movies we're going to talk about today that are open. Some of them are opening tomorrow and then officially Friday.
Yes, right? That's
how that
true.
Goes? But they now, a lot of them open on Thursdays just to kind of screw you
up. Almost all of them do now. If you want to get to like a 7 p.m. almost every Thursday at 7 p.m., you'll see the new movies lined up like aircraft on the runway, ready for takeoff. So it's kind of a fun way to see them early.
Yeah. I think as long as they end by midnight Eastern, then they are considered to be in the Friday thing. And they also want the extra weekend. They want the extra dollars to count for the opening weekend.
Thursday's the new Friday.
That's true,
right? Because it was never the Friday before; it was Thursday.
Yes, and Wednesday Adams is the new Tuesday Weld. Mm-hmm.
I do like the fact that these young kids think they invented everything.
I know.
No, we don't.
Hey, let's all go out on Thursday, gang.
But it's much bigger now than it was.
Make Thursday great again.
Yeah, because you were in high school before.
Try grammar school.
Yeah, or grammar school. Thursday's been pretty big.
It has been.
Yeah,
just feels a little different now.
My whole life. The life of the party.
A lot of those startups kind of a slow start on Friday morning. You know, welcome to whatchamacallit.com. We'll be in at 11. Just help yourself to an espresso.
It's so true.
And enjoy the exposed brick of our lobby.
Yes. All right.
Yes, sir.
Let's start with what they had.
Yeah, I want to talk to you guys about What They Had. I love this film. I'm just going to preface by saying right off the bat, I just absolutely love this film. Elizabeth Chomko is the writer-director of this movie. She was an actress for years who turned to writing, and she based this in part on her experiences growing up in Chicago when her grandmother had Alzheimer's. In the movie, the great Blythe Danner, Some people know her as Gwyneth Paltrow's mother, but she's a beautiful, wonderful actress in her own right. She plays the family matriarch who has Alzheimer's. And the legendary Robert Forster, who has been around for 60 years as an actor. People remember him from a million TV shows. And then Jackie Brown, he was nominated for an Oscar. Robert Forster plays her husband. He's an old school military vet, classic Chicago guy, Catholic, church going. And he's not about to let his wife go into a home. That's his girl since they were teenagers. He's going to take care of her. And their grown children are played by the great Michael Shannon of Chicago and Hilary Swank. And of course, the grown children are now getting involved in what's going to be best for the mother. And this movie just perfectly gets the dynamic of families, not just Chicago families, but there's a very Chicago feel to it. And I think we have a clip here where they're debating what's going to happen with mom.
You want to go talk to a priest?
I'm not a Catholic anymore.
Well, there's your problem right there.
How do you know? How do you always know what my problem is? Do I do that to you? Did I march in here and say she's going in a home? If you don't like it, go talk to a priest? I listened to you, Dad. I asked you what you wanted, and I fought like hell to get it for you because you matter to me. What you want matters to me. Why don't I matter to you? Mom was a feminist, for Christ's sake. Why didn't anyone ever ask me what I wanted?
Honey, we did ask you what you wanted. You said you couldn't wait to be a mother.
Wow.
Oh,
heavy stuff.
Good but, Chicago accent.
But yeah.
Forster, you know,
great cast.
I talked to Robert Forster. He was in town a couple weeks ago to talk about the movie. And I think he's originally from, I want to say, New Hampshire. But he says a lot of people think he's from Chicago because they're the same kind of sort of clip tone. Mm-hmm. And he says when people say he's from Chicago, he just owns it and says, yeah, love Chicago. So, and it's just beautifully done. And Chicago, almost all of it shot right here in Chicago, in Wicker Park, and, you know, kind of locales that don't get in movies as much. And it's just, it's also very funny. It's not all just really heavy stuff. And, it, you know, Michael Shannon plays a guy that owns a bar called Nick's, and he's named Nicky, you know, who better than to play that role. So I just love this film. 4 stars for what they had. And I really think there's a chance for nominations for the actors. Yeah. I mean, Robert Forster, you know, I think he's 75, something like that now. He's great. And Hilary Swank has 2 Oscars, and this is as good as she's ever been in this role, in this movie, too. So check it out, What They Had, and support a great local artist, the writer, the director, and some of the cast members as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. I saw, of course, the commercial for this, and I thought, am I ready to do like an Alzheimer's movie?
To really dig in that deep and heavy?
This time of year, do I really? It's already dark outside.
I suspect it's about so much more, though, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it gets that dynamic, you know, like grown siblings, because Hilary Swank's character has moved to California years ago. But the minute she's back in town, she and her brother have that same banter that they've had probably since they were 9 and 11 years old. You know how that is with grown siblings? Mm-hmm. And there's just a lot of great moments. The Robert Forster character, he had a Camry for years, and now he's got this muscle car, and his daughter says, like, what happened to the Camry? And he goes, I'm 75. That's what happened to the Camry, okay? Get in the GTO. We're going. Yeah.
And Michael Shannon is amazing.
So good. So good.
I mean, it's a guy that... And what's the most amazing thing about Michael Shannon is that Michael Shannon is a creative director, and I think he owns part of the Red Orchid Theater on Wells Street.
Yeah.
So here's a guy, Oscar nominated, right?
Yeah.
He was in that The Shape of Water thing last year, where he was one of the best bad guys on film in this century, would be my argument. And then you're walking up and down Wells Street, and you're going to pop in and see him in a little black box theater.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's crazy. Yep. It's an amazing thing.
Remember there was the famous photo last year? He was in one of the little dive bars. He was nominated for a Golden Globe. He was watching the Golden Globes in this little, like on a TV, like a TV that had an antenna, like in Chicago.
Was in Chicago.
And people were like, wait a minute. And he's like, I knew I wasn't going to win. So that's so great. You know?
That's what kind of guy he is.
Love that guy. Yeah. All right. Let's
Old Town Ale House. I was trying to remember which one
it
was.
Is that where he was? Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's amazing.
Classic place. Yeah.
Melissa McCarthy.
Yes.
In a serious role.
Yes.
Can You Ever Forgive Me? Although they're marketing this movie as kind of a dark comedy.
It's both. And again, you know, Plainfield Zone, Melissa McCarthy, in the performance of her career. And this is an amazing story. You got to look this up, guys, if you get a chance. It's based on the true story. There was this writer in the early 90s in New York City who had been in kind of a pretty good career going writing biographies, but then she fell on hard times. So she started faking letters from famous dead people and selling them, like letters from Dorothy Parker and Noel Coward and all these 20th century literary figures. And because she was such a good writer herself, and knew their style, she could write believable letters. And then she would like put them in the oven to kind of age them and use different types of typewriters. And she actually got, she made a lot of money until the FBI started figuring out maybe these aren't legitimate. So Melissa McCarthy plays this real life author who's, you know, kind of a sad sack. She's in her 50s. She lives with her 12-year-old cat. She's driven everybody away from her. But there's also a lot of dark humor in here. And it's just, it's a wonderful film. And again, yes, it's funny. It's dark. I think I'm giving this one 4 stars as well, guys.
Wow!
It's just, and this is one, I will say this, if Melissa McCarthy is not nominated for Best Actress, that means there's 5 performances out there that must be unbelievable, because probably the best performance I've seen so far this year.
Well,
right,
you haven't been a terribly big fan of a lot of her recent work.
You know, she falls back on the dopey comedy. She's done some really funny stuff and has proved in some other films that she can definitely do drama. Mm-hmm. Here, it's not one of those things where the comedic actor all of a sudden, you know, goes all dark and everything, because she's really funny. She's a horrible person. She's an absolutely dreadful human being who hates all other people, which is why I love her, because I can identify with that. We all can on some days, right? She drives everybody away from her. Set, you know, she has no filter, which is sort of fantastic, you know. And there's something great about a character like that in the movies, especially when you realize that she really, really exists. You know, she actually, you know, she forged the letters. There was some dealings with the law. She got a cease and desist from Nora Ephron, because at one point she was impersonating Nora Ephron on the phone all the time, so she'd get like reservations and things.
Another famous,
hello, darling, it's Nora Ephron.
And it's based on a true story.
True story. Amazing.
I love it.
Wow. All right.
So those two great smaller films coming out this weekend, guys.
Mm-hmm. I'm in the mood for a smaller film.
All right. And then Hunter Killer. We're gonna do this on the other side.
Yes.
I want to check in with Judy first, because that was her nickname in high school. Hunter Killer. It's a submarine movie.
Yes.
And it's got Common in it.
Yes. He's in every movie.
Yes, he's in everything right now. You know that Common
shows up everywhere.
Do you know that Common is going to be in Chicago on Monday? Did you see this?
No.
He and Serena Williams are doing a Creative Minds lecture at the Lyric
together.
Opera House.
Together.
Yes. Yeah.
Good. Wow. Ooh, what if Kanye crashes it?
How
crazy is that?
That's amazing. Oh, that'd be cool.
That'd be great. Can if Kanye imagine? Got up there and started.
I'm going to just say something, Serena.
No, please don't. Well, he just showed up at the mayoral thing.
Writing checks and hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a thing called The Art of Storytelling, Serena Williams and Common.
Whoa.
That is a.
It's quite the combo.
Amazing.
And
it's
at
amazing
the Lyric Star Opera.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of a thing. That Kanye, of course, will start singing if he gets the Lyric Opera. We're not promising that Kanye's going to be there. I'm just saying.
No, we can't do that.
That is what it is.
If you have the subscription, do you get to go see that?
Like,
I could see some patrons going, darling, is this La Boheme? I don't fucking know.
This is what we signed up for.
Opening act of this.
I'm going to guess the
fantastic
Lyric Opera subscription doesn't come with this.
That would be
I could be wrong about that.
Right.
Let's look into it.
The kids will be like, Ma, do you got the Lyric tickets for October 29th?
It's wonderful.
All right. Well, if you want, let me get the plug in here. If you want to see this, it's creativemindstalks.com. Everything's plural here.
Mm-hmm.
creativemindstalks.com. And just go on Ticketmaster and look for Common and Creative Minds or Serena Williams. And it pops up.
Cool,
it's unbelievable. The venue is great. And it's like, but you know, Common in every single commercial you see on television, Common is lecturing you with one of those little headphones on, right? Like he's doing
we can't just walk, we're flying. And I'm like, I have no idea what they're selling.
But I'm into
but
it.
But he gets me. I'm like, yes,
I'm
we can.
It.
You're right, Common.
It's like a permanent TED talk, right?
Right. So, right. But this is more. But then the Serena, I would love to see Serena. We're indisposed on Monday, but I'm sorry I'm going to miss this, because this would be something.
I like when she goes jogging and decides she wants that necklace and goes back and gets it.
That's really exciting. Cool. All right. So anyway, so there you go. If you want to see them, if you want to see Common in a movie, stay tuned, because Richard Roper will tell you whether it's worth seeing right after we check in with Judy with the WGN News headlines.
Such a stupid idea, what one Chicago area school district says about arming teachers.
Tomorrow morning, tune into the Steve Cochran Show. He'll have free Blackhawks tickets for you at 7:50, so be listening in.
That's good.
It's great.
I like that.
We'll be at the Hawks ourselves tomorrow.
All right, we've got Common in a submarine movie. Yes, we do that every day.
Well, you know, he's in a lot of movies. I just looked it up. 11 roles for Common this year. Besting Nicolas Cage, Ethan Hawke, anybody. 11 roles he has this year. Congratulations to Common and Common's agents. But before we talk about Common, I got to go back for a second. We were just talking about the extraordinary press conference last week that normally would have been the craziest story of the year, but now was barely even remembered. Gerard Butler plays a submarine commander in this movie called Hunter Killer. So he's at the Pentagon last week to thank them because they cooperated and lent, you know, military expertise right. and let him go to right. Pearl Harbor, etc. And he also announced that he was not going to go to Saudi Arabia to promote the film because of the situation with the murdered journalist. He thought they'd be insensitive. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, they pushed Gerard Butler in front of the Pentagon podium and told him to go ahead and face the press. But this was not the entertainment press. This was the CNN Washington Post press corps. And here's Gerard Butler, who clearly had no idea this was going to happen.
What would you want to see in Saudi Arabia at this point to be able to return and see the American film industry support with the Saudi film and entertainment industry? What would you want to see happen now?
That is a very difficult question to start with. And to be honest, I don't know if I have an answer to the second part. I haven't really thought it out that much. All I know is that when I woke up in the morning before we were supposed to go to Saudi Arabia, we were informed of what was happening, and it just didn't feel like a good time to be getting involved. It felt incredibly insensitive to go to Saudi Arabia.
Barbara Starr from CNN asked that question.
Yes. And she's the minute like she identified herself, you could tell the look on his face was like, what am I doing here? 34 minutes he was up there and he kept looking off to the wings. And he even said at one point, he goes, I think I'm done, right? I don't think I'm supposed to take questions.
They were asking serious question
yes!
after question.
And at one point, somebody in the press corps actually said, I've got one question for the admiral and one for the actor. And he was just like, are you a journalist? Okay, we'll take one for the journalist. It was the most bizarre thing.
Number three.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's exactly what that was. The number three box office performer. Okay, so let's quickly get to the actual movie, Hunter Killer. Now, this is a submarine movie, and I'm going to do my best to explain what happens in this movie. So Gerard Butler.
1 minute to do it.
Gerard Butler is...
Good
luck. That's impossible. All I would say is, okay, I'm going to try. Here we go. Gerard Butler plays the commander of a United States submarine that gets involved with a Russian submarine. They both thought they fired on one another, but in the meantime, Navy SEALs are trying to extract the Russian president from Russia because the Russian defense minister has staged a coup. So now the Russian president and the American submarine guys team up to take on the Russians so they can stop the Russians from starting a fake news World War III. Common plays the admiral. Gary Oldman
is
the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And Gerard Butler is Joe Glass, rogue submarine commander.
Good actors, but wow, what a complicated thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Is it good?
No.
I don't
but
think
so. But it's fantastically terrible. I will tell you this. I give it 2 stars, but I tell you, if you go into it with the right frame of mind, knowing you're going to have every submarine cliche ever, that you're ever, you know, where the CEO, where the XO starts saying, you're going to be court-martialed for this. Well, I'm going to keep you alive long enough to testify against me, sir, if you listen to my commands. Oh. And the Russian captain says to the American captain, you know, we're not so different after all. Amazing.
Oh,
Hunter Killer, Tinker Tailor, Soldier Spy.
Okay.
Check it out if you're in the mood for inadvertent laughter.
For a all hot mess. Right.
Four stars for what they had, and Can You Forgive Me, though? So
yes.
There you go. All right.
Admiral Common, though. Pretty awesome.
Thank you. Thank you, Richard. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. We got Judy standing by with the stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Rob Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here at 720 WGN. Yesterday we had the Democratic nominee for Attorney General.
Yes.
Today the Republican nominee for Attorney General, Erica Harold, is with us. And I think most people don't even understand what the Attorney General does. I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to lie.
Right.
I think, you know, when you go, what exactly do they do?
What's the actual role? That's true. And how do you approach it?
But I think one of the questions that we started with Kwame Raoul about, I'll start with you, Erica, because I think this is the one thing that people can concern themselves with in this particular time in American history, is attorneys general from around the country get involved in all kinds of either agreeing with or pushing off the federal government in terms of what they want to do in the states. And that becomes it, and that's become kind of a firestorm in some, depending on what the laws are and what the rules are. And there are attorneys general get involved, whether it's gun rights or abortion or other kinds of things. They're jumping in on it. How do you see states' rights in the state of Illinois versus the federal government here, just sort of in a broad view?
In a broad view, I view it as the role of the Attorney General to enforce Illinois law, to make sure that you defend Illinois law from any federal encroachment, but to respect the limits of the separation between state and federal power. And so your job is to make sure that you're a vigorous advocate for Illinoisans' interests, but doing so in light of the fact that the federal government does have jurisdiction over certain things. And when there's a conflict, then you're making sure that you're only filing lawsuits that are based on legal matters.
I think what many people would credit Lisa Madigan with is consumer advocacy. She has been an extremely powerful voice for consumers across the state of Illinois. And Kwame Royal pointed that out yesterday, and he said that he would be very much like Lisa Madigan in terms of his approach to this position of attorney general. I guess I wonder, I know you say that you want to have a focus. Your focus would be different, obviously. You're differentiating yourself, and one of those ways is public corruption. You said you'd go after that more vigorously.
I think that one of the areas in which Senator Rahl and I both agree is the need to continue being a vigorous advocate for consumer protection issues. The Attorney General is empowered both under state and federal law with enforcement authority to be able to address issues, whether it's predatory lending or identity theft, making sure that senior citizens are protected. Those are all ways in which the Attorney General will continue to be able to be a vigorous protector of consumers.
Yeah, but let's go to public corruption. Let's just go to that, because I think that's one of the great, well, traditions of the state of Illinois. Let's just face it. We like to say
it's embedded in our politics historically.
It is.
What's kept me busy as a journalist in the past.
Yes.
And it's a bipartisan problem, unfortunately.
Absolutely. Yeah. True.
We like to send governors to the clink, whether they're Democrats or Republicans. That's how we enjoy ourselves here. There's been a lot of concern, obviously, when you have a lot of people don't like Mike Madigan, right? Because he's been there forever, a very powerful wielding of his sword, kind of a guy down in Springfield, and his daughter's been the attorney general, and there a lot of Republicans have argued that has created a lack of investment or I'm sorry, investigative pressure from. From the Attorney General's office on the legislature. Do you think that's true? And what would you do to change it?
I think it is true. There are inherent conflicts of interest when you have a family member that is in government in that capacity. And there are several things that the Attorney General can do to be able to be more proactive. One is to use the current statutory authority that the Attorney General has to continue investigations under the State Ethics Act. There's also the ability for the Attorney General to enforce the Open Meetings Act and the Freedom of Information Act through the Public Access Counselor. And that's something that's very important because those sunshine laws help to prevent public corruption from occurring in the first place. But I also think that the General Assembly needs to empower the Attorney General with more investigative tools to be able to fight public corruption.
Oh, wait. Hey. Hold
wait
on.
Wait a minute.
Wait a second. Hold on. That means they're going to be looking at us.
Is there something you need to share?
No, I'm just saying. I mean, I can just imagine that's what the legislators are thinking to themselves. Right? Whoa. What do you suspect? I mean, as you know, you're running for this office. Where, like, you know, if you were to win day one, January 1 or whenever you take over, I mean, are there investigations that you think need to be launched or places you need to start looking?
I would not go into office with a preconceived notion or a set list of investigations, because that's not at all how this office works. There are certain triggers under law where if you have evidence of misconduct, then you are empowered to do an investigation. And I think it's really important to highlight that distinction, because this office is not used to target political opponents. And to the extent that it's used in that way, that's an abuse of power.
You have an ad running now that's attracting some attention, and I know it's getting, you know, close to the election, so a lot of people are running their powerful ads. But one of them, this one particular one, says you would stand up against Madigan and Pritzker. And some people say that's sort of presumptuous, that you're assuming that Pritzker wins. And I know he's way ahead in the polls, but Governor Rauner has been a big supporter of yours personally and financially. And are you assuming that that's going to happen? And you're obviously selling the point that you'd be an independent voice to fight those types of alliances that might not be in the best public interest. But what are you actually saying there?
I certainly hope that Governor Rauner prevails, because I think many of J.B. Pritzker's policies would be bad for Illinois, including the progressive income tax. But the reality is that you do need to have a two-party system in Illinois. And there are a lot of people who do tell me they are voting for me to make sure that we do have a two-party system within Illinois. Certainly, though, I hope that Governor Rauner does prevail, because I think his policies in many respects lead Illinois down a better path than what J.B. Pritzker has set forth.
Mm-hmm. So is it, you would likely be, if you were to win, because you're in a hotly contested race, at
That's
least
right.
as the polling seems to show. You're the closest Republican to winning in a constitutional battle here. Not constitutional battle, but
you're making it sound like a battle royale.
Constitutional in a constitutional.
You could be the
office.
Only Republican in statewide office.
Right,
it's very possible.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say there. Sort of.
You got.
Yeah, I'm getting there. And so, if you were to be the only Republican, I mean, you'd basically be the most all the Republican hopes for the entire state of Illinois would be upon you. I mean,
it's quite a heavy burden.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it kind of is. I mean, is this? And then the question would immediately be, you know, would you want to run for greater office, Senate or Governor?
So I'm looking to win on November 6th. I don't have my sights anywhere beyond that. But I think it is an opportunity to shape the Illinois Republican Party and to define the party based on principles, but also to define it based on inclusion. Because if I win this election, then I will be the first Black woman to ever be elected Attorney General within our state, and only the fourth nationwide. And things like that matter to people, because visible representation makes people feel more represented within government. And so I'm certainly working hard to make sure I can prevail on November 6th. And then my immediate task would be the best attorney general that the state of Illinois has ever had.
You were Miss America. You were Miss America. You Harvard graduate. But one, your platform as Miss America was an anti-bullying campaign.
Yes.
I think you were sort of almost ahead of your time on that front.
Way ahead of her time. For any of us.
Well,
but,
I mean,
okay.
People listened at that time, but I don't think there was just this awareness of how far it goes in this world of social media, when you can access kids even after school, and you can access people in 24 hours of the day, and it becomes even more of an aggressive and very dangerous and a difficult thing to deal with. Is that something you would continue to advocate for? Is there a role even within Illinois Attorney General's office to do something under that umbrella?
I would absolutely continue to advocate for greater protections for students from cyberbullying, because that's really the new way in which students target each other. But at the time when I launched this national platform, it was 2002. And the question I got most often from people was, why does this matter? Is there really an impact on victims' lives? And so I feel really proud that now everyone takes it as a given that bullying and targeting of people is harmful. And the reality, though, is there's still much more work to do, because social media has given young people a new vehicle. And I'd like to use the Attorney General's office to be able to highlight for parents what are the laws in terms of the kind of anti-harassment policies that the school should have. How can parents initiate conversations with their students about bullying? I know I was the victim of severe racial and sexual harassment when I was in high school. It ultimately led me to transfer. And it took me many months before I had the courage to tell my parents. Uh-huh. And I want parents to know that if they're waiting for their child to come home and say, "Mom or Dad, I've been bullied," that's not going to happen. So I want to give them concrete ways to protect their child, and then to work with the school proactively to protect them.
It's interesting, because the Republican Party, you know, obviously, you know, we got with Donald Trump as the head of the Republican Party, if you will, for the nation. Not a bullying guy, right? I mean, it's pretty clear. And his wife's got a very nice agenda, right, as a first lady, but it often flies in the face of what the reality of his Twitter account and other things that he says, including things he says at these rallies. He's coming up in just a little bit in Mosinee, Wisconsin, with a rally. We'll see if he changes his tone tonight in the aftermath of everything that has happened here. But it's pretty tough. You're running a very different kind of campaign, and you are the only Republican in the state of Illinois right now at statewide who's got a shot at winning. Well, okay, let me put it this way. You are likely. I meant it. That's what I meant.
You meant it. That people are going to start laying into you.
Why do you think? I didn't let them lay into me. I'll see them. Believe me, I'll see them all next Tuesday night, and we'll see who was right about this. But the question is, how are why do you think your campaign has cut through differently than some of the other ones?
From the very beginning, I've tried to focus on taking politics out of this office, and that has been attractive to people. I've also been willing to acknowledge that both parties bear responsibility for where we find ourselves, both in terms of public discourse, but also some of the policies. And I've talked about the Attorney General's office as being the watchdog on both parties. And I think that really struck a positive chord with people, because I'm not saying that only one party has good ideas and the other party has bad ideas. And I'm not trying to lay blame. I'm trying to say, how do we move forward as a state that has enormous challenges, but still great opportunities if we can work together? And the Attorney General has the opportunity to be that kind of a role, because you are supposed to be the people's lawyer, balancing everybody's interests, making sure that everybody feels heard and represented in the state of Illinois. And hopefully, by leading by example, I can inspire more people to be involved civically and to feel better about their government.
Follow up, Eric and Harold.
Go ahead, sir.
Do you think that just your general, now you're kind of new to politics in this whole situation, as you watch it being practiced at the statewide level, the local level, but the federal level right now, the national level, what is your take on the tone?
I think that the tone is much more partisan and it's much more vitriolic. And one of the things I do from time to time is talk to people on both sides of the aisle who previously...
Partisan and vitriolic since when, though, would you say? Has it been going on for years? Is this recent? Do you see this moment in history as particularly different than others?
I think it is. And I ask people who used to serve in office if they've noticed a change. And they said they absolutely have noticed a change, and they wouldn't serve themselves if they were entering politics at this point in time. And one of the things they highlight is that they previously were able to have disagreements with people with the other party, but they were still able to afterwards believe the best about the other person, and that enabled you to move forward. And I think if we've lost that. You may disagree with somebody's policy or their approach to solving a problem, but I think we've moved to the point where we assume other people have bad intentions and bad motives.
Right, they're
that's
evil.
Corrosive.
There's an interesting poll out about it. Uh-huh. You think the other side is evil.
Right.
And that number has gone up to 40% from 16% just 10 years ago.
Crazy.
You know, I mean, that's
not good for the country.
No, that isn't.
It's not.
You know, the legislators, Democrats and Republicans, they used to just go to the bar after, you know, in Springfield.
Right.
And they would, you know, they'd fight with each other on the floor. Then they'd go to the bar. And then
you're like, wait a minute.
And they'd split up the checks from the lobbyists. That's what they would do.
Exactly.
Is that how it always happened?
Somehow. Right, and everybody was happy.
Except for the people weren't necessarily better for it, I think. And I think that's another issue here is that if you were to become the only Republican statewide, and we're presuming a lot there, but imagine that. Do you think that the situation here with machine politics is an issue for the state of Illinois? Do you worry about that impact on our state? Would you fight against that?
I don't think machine politics is good for anyone, because it's not just a partisan problem. It actually stifles an entire generation of leaders. And really what you want to see is more ideas coming, new people entering the arena on both sides of the aisle, because I think that enables people to move past old grudges. It also makes people feel engaged in their democracy. And I would hope that would happen on both sides of the aisle.
You like term limits?
I do. I think we need term limits because...
What do you think are good term limits? That sort of the federal thing in terms of... For the executive, two terms?
Two terms for the executive, maybe a little bit longer for the General Assembly.
Yeah, because General Assembly, obviously, the House is two, and it's four in the Senate, not six in the Senate.
But I think in the executive branch, I think two terms should be sufficient, and I think the people really are benefited by having that kind of a turnover.
Workers' comp, what would be your plan, or would you address that? How would you address that? Workers' comp reform I'm talking about in the state.
I would actually start with some proposals that were set forth by the current Attorney General, Lisa Madigan. And I would start with those proposals because I would want to take the partisanship out of the issue. I think we need to have a clearer causation standard. I think you also need clearer notice standards. That both enables an employer to know what kind of claim to defend, but also makes it easier for an employee that's been injured to have a process that's more expedited.
Mm-hmm. All right, Erica Harold wants to be your Attorney General. And you'll be able to make that decision a week from Tuesday.
Yes.
And then a week from Tuesday night, I'm going to be hearing from any other Republicans who won, going, what are you talking about?
Say you're wrong, bro.
All right. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate
it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, have fun out there in the last couple of weeks here. Eddie Brill is standing by in the PPG Paints Green Room. He's going to play News or Ruse with us. Very funny man. That's coming your way after Judy's news. But first, Judy, what is coming up at the bottom of the hour?
An earful today on Chicago's police reform plan.
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan.
Yeah, Mr. Duffy, thank you very much. Yes. We're going to play another edition of News or Ruse. Mm-hmm. And our old friend Eddie Brill is in the studio. Mm-hmm. Eddie is one of the funniest comics I have ever seen on stage. And I've seen a lot of comics. You just never know what Eddie's going to say, and he says it in such a way that you stop and you think, oh my God, I wish I thought of that.
Yeah. Well, that's when I see other comics and I see that, that's like, oh, that's who I want. Like Norm MacDonald or something, or, you know.
Yes.
When I see that kind of comedy, it's like, oh, why didn't I think of that? It's so easy.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I know. Mm-hmm.
But it's not easy.
And that's what he does. And that's Eddie will do something and I'm like, oh man.
Yeah. Well, that's nice.
I suck.
No, you don't.
All right. And you brought your son with you, right?
Dan.
Hey, Dan.
And Dan, you're a stand-up comic also?
Yes. I am.
Wow. After everything your father's been through, you decided not to be a doctor? What is this?
Did he try to convince you otherwise?
No, he's actually been very supportive, and he's told me all the mistakes he's made, so I can try and avoid those.
Yeah. Really, you know, awesome. I think, though, that a lot of people try that. Like, they tell their kids, no, don't do this, because I did this, and then they got to learn their own, don't
they?
Yeah.
Well, that's the great thing is, you know, he really is his own person, so I actually let him make his mistakes because I know that's what I had to do. You can't teach comedy. You can't teach someone to be funny. So,
right.
And he can't say the name of it, but he's got a part in a major motion picture that's going to happen.
Why can't we say the name? Can we hint at another co-star or anything? No?
No. No, not really.
I'll tell you off the air, but it's really rocking.
Come on.
Very proud.
Oh.
Yeah. A Star is Born 2, Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah.
No?
No. That's my film.
Did you see A Star Is Born?
Not yet.
I cried three times at it.
I heard it's the best of the four. Yes. A Star Is Born.
Yeah, that's true. But don't ask Barbara Streisand that. She gets very particular. She gets very upset when
it's like
that.
Gene Wilder when you talk about Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Well, he passed away.
He was
very angry for a funny, nice guy.
I know.
That was creepy.
And I know.
He's the best.
I know.
He is.
But there will never be another.
Silver Streak.
Yes. Well, Young Frankenstein. Yeah. One of the greatest films of all time.
Yes.
And now it's on every 5 minutes.
Yeah. You know, I went on a date with Julie Gallagher in like the 10th grade to see that movie. And the guy, there was only one seat open. And it was the guy on my left. And he laughed so hard. He was doing this with his elbow. You can't see it on the radio. He's poking with his elbow.
Yeah.
And he kept hitting me in the stomach. And it was the harshest date I was on because I had the lovely Julie who had no idea, with her bubblegum lip gloss, holding my hand on one side and then getting killed and poked and prodded. By the guy.
So you'll never be able to see that movie again. You haven't seen it since, have you?
I've actually seen it like 50, 60 times, I think.
What knockers. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you,
showing?
Eddie. Yes.
Is it that kind of show?
You want to see Eddie. He is going to be at Zany Chicago, the big one, the great one right here, downtown on Wells Street. It is basically the womb of comedy.
Yes, 40 years. They're celebrating the 40th anniversary this year.
I love that venue.
And Dan, you're going
place.
On stage too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yep. I'm featuring all the shows. Every single
Wow.
Day. Yep.
Man.
Awesome.
And Eddie's going to be there. Eddie likes to do this where he's basically in residence now, the way that this looks, starting tonight and working his way all the way through until Sunday. Wow.
Right.
Wow, that
and I'm teaching a workshop on Saturday during the day and three shows at night that night. So
oh my God,
I'm living crazy. There. I'm
yeah, you are. You are there. Essentially living there. And this is so go see him. I'm just telling you right now, Eddie Brill. If people who are fans of yours, have, you know, followed you for years and years and years, they all know. But if you are, if you're new to Eddie Brill, he's one of the guys that. You know, is from a, he's one of the masters of his generation.
And, you know, therapy has helped me a lot because it's so hard for me to hear that, but I just thank you.
Yeah. You know, the funny sweet. Thing is that, well, oh then maybe gosh. You're
it's
not.
It's hard for me to hear that. You know, I mean, it's not like I'll see people in line outside and go, what are they doing? You know? Don't were they you, know it's me?
Were you afraid, Eddie, when you went into therapy that it was going to ruin your comedy?
No. As a matter of fact, the guy is so funny in therapy that I've come up with so many great
your lines.
Ideas.
Oh, I'm, yeah. Doc, hold on one second.
Yeah, let me, can I write that
I'm
down?
I'm paying you for this, yeah. So this is good. I awesome. Own that line now.
Yes.
All right. Are we ready? Can we go?
Let's do it.
We're going to play
is
some
fun.
News or ruse. Here are the prizes. You ready?
Yes.
Pair mm-hmm. of tickets to go see the premiere of Witch.
Nice.
Now playing through December 16th at Writers Theater in Glencoe. The fate of the world is at stake. Well, isn't it anyway?
Yeah, always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get
daily.
Tickets at writerstheater.org or 847-242-6000. And a never measure. This is the best thing ever, Eddie. It's a never measure. You can easily center, level, or hang your wall decorations fast and eliminate the need for measuring tape and to calculate fractions. And it doesn't work the way I've tried to make it work, but it's great if you're hanging stuff on your walls. And
I am always hanging stuff on my walls.
Everyone gets one of those. All right, are you all ready? Right. Here we go. Did they explain how this is going to go? And Dan, you
sort
can help
of.
Your dad if you want to help.
All right.
Because, you know, the poor
the
old man,
show.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
Old man, take yeah. a look at my land.
All right, here we go. Here, let's first of all, let's meet our contestants. We got Patty playing with Judy. Patty.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. I don't know. How's Judy? Is she
there?
You're
ready to win, Patty?
Yay!
Andy is playing with Violetta.
Andy, let me hear it.
Hey, everybody.
Hi. Hey,
all
Andy.
Right, and Dave, you're playing with Eddie and Dan.
Hey, what's happening, Eddie and Dan?
Hey, Dave. Hey. Dave's not here.
I think you've got. I think you have a real shot here, Dave, because you got two guys who are not sure what they're doing either. This
right.
is really
perfect.
There's right. the
yeah,
formula.
For
let's start.
For
here's United your first States. Headline. Let's go. Patty and Judy. Police hunt David Schwimmer lookalike.
News.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
It doesn't matter. It's news.
Okay, news.
Judy, so
you, Judy.
Sure of that one. You bet, but don't expect that again. That was just, that was a weird one.
What the ding?
She knew that one right out of the bat. Okay, we got Andy Violetta. Here is your headline. CDC warns against dressing up pet chickens for Halloween.
News.
Okay, news. How'd you know that one, Andy?
He's a chicken expert.
Yeah.
Right.
What?
You know, it's not bad to be a chicken. They cut their head off and they just keep running around, so it's very proud.
All right, Dave and Eddie and Dan, here you go. Woman secretly fattened up bridesmaids before wedding.
Oh. I'll let you go with that, Dave.
I got to believe it's news. What do you think, Eddie?
I agree.
Absolutely.
All right. There you go.
Yeah, there
of
you go.
Course that's news.
Wow.
That's
I got fattened up listening to it.
But you look skinnier next to fatter people. This is the rule. So
right. Everyone got one right in that round.
I know.
Right?
That was awesome. All right. Patty and Judy, back to round two. French lawmaker proposes bill to outlaw mockery of accents.
Oh, no.
Ooh, Colin Mockery.
I had no idea. I'm
going to
say, politically correct world. News.
Yeah, I don't know either, but I feel like it's a ruse.
I need an answer.
I do feel like it's a ruse.
Okay, let's go ruse, Judy, because that was my first instinct and I can't.
Too bad. So sad.
We were still talking.
Patty, always go with your second instinct. Always.
Oh, sorry, Patty.
Andy and Violetta, here
right.
is your headline. Asian migration leads to spike in piano sales.
Eddie, what do you think? You're in therapy.
It's Andy and Violetta. Andy and Violetta. Andy and Violetta.
Oh. You're with me.
What do you say, Violetta?
Well, you obviously don't want to be my partner, but...
Just kidding.
There's more therapy on the way.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Ruse.
Okay, ruse.
Thanks, hon.
Oh, you're very welcome, Andy.
It's a little
dissension. Don't call her hon. You know what? After a drink, she will actually she'll stick her hand down your eyeball.
Right. All right. Pull out your hun.
Dave, Eddie, Dan.
Attila the hun.
Here you guys go, the threes of you. Okay. Florida orange growers vow to do better after amphetamines show up in student urine.
Urine.
I was amphetamine. No, I was trying to
rhyme. My cousin, Urine.
Yes.
She's from South Florida.
I used to date her. Remember that?
I do. She was lovely. Mm-hmm. Dave, what do you think about Urine?
Well, I think anything in Florida has got to be true.
Yes, I agree completely.
Where? Dan, you want to jump in?
Yeah, let's make it news.
Guys.
0-3
0-3
I'm still sticking that was news. So
probably is news.
Actually, if you pronounce it urine, it makes it a news.
Yeah.
All right, hold on 1 second. We'll come right back. The great Eddie Brill is here. Eddie is going to be at Zany's downtown now through Sunday.
Yes.
You can go see him tonight. Starts at 8 o'clock tonight, and then tomorrow and Friday, three shows on Saturday, mm-hmm. and then a show on Sunday too.
Yay!
How about that?
After the Jets Bears.
Yeah, you are going to the Bears game.
Yeah,
that's going to be something.
Never been to that stadium.
Jets game is as you people like to say. And he dresses as Fireman Ed and does this.
Oh God, I hate that guy.
He's gone, isn't he?
No, he's back.
Oh, no.
God, he was gone for a while, but then, you know, it's like, come on. He became so arrogant. Arrogant Ed. Fireman Ed, you know. But I'm sure there are a lot of people like him, but it's embarrassing.
He's the guy that would go...
J-E-T-S! But he gets so into it because he's on camera and... You know, success ruined Fireman.
We've seen this before.
So sad. So sad.
Tragic story.
Same thing happened to Ronald McDonald.
Yeah. All right. Stand by, everybody. Bozo, we'll come right back. Judy, what's coming up? What's coming up at the top of the hour? Just say yes or no.
No.
All right. Violetta.
Tune in to the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning, 7:50. He'll have free Blackhawks tickets for you. Then, 8:40, Coach Q will join the show to talk about the Blackhawks-Rangers matchup.
All right, we got a couple minutes to get this in. Hopefully it'll work. The stories that matter are coming up with Andrea Darlish from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Eddie Brill is here. He has a son who is also in comedy. I don't know what you're thinking, son. I don't know why you would do something like this. Eddie is going to be at... laughs, right? Crowds. Chicks. Going to be at Zany's downtown Chicago on Wells Street starting tonight all the way through Sunday. Go see Eddie Brill. It is a treat. It isn't. And I'm going to tell you something. He's one of those guys that comics always say, I want to be like Eddie Brill.
Well, that's very nice. And Zany's is 40-year anniversary, and it's one of the greatest clubs
it is.
In America. So they
love that
in
place.
The world.
That is so totally true. All right, here we go. Are we ready? Now everybody's got one right. Someone can steal it right here. Here we go. Patty and Judy in the Orion Samuelson round. Here is your headline.
Ex-researchers who stole funds sentenced to play piano.
What?
Patty and Judy.
Like we're at a Macy's?
I think it's a ruse.
All right, we're going with you because I was...
She said it was a groove. She didn't say ruse.
They were still thinking.
Andy and Violetta.
She was letting me peruse that answer.
Andy and Violetta.
She had a glass of juice first.
Still talking through things.
Andy and Violetta, here's your headline.
U.S. Embassy apologizes after mistakenly sending Cookie Monster cat invitation.
What? I don't know that just because I'm young. I don't know. What do you think?
News.
Okay, news.
Yay! Well done.
All right, this is like the shootout in hockey. We don't make this.
Right, if you're right, exactly. I like this. She goes, oh, for the love of God! Oh, my God! Like, that's not real! That actually happened in Australia.
Oh,
it's a training error. And, you know, that's what you want at your State Department, a training error.
All right,
Dave, Eddie, and Dan, here is your headline.
Vandalism of Revolutionary War statue with googly eyes prompts a police probe.
Well, it is so bad that it has to be true.
I think it's true. All those news.
Sounds like news to me.
Yeah.
All right,
good job,
now,
guys.
Now we're in the playoff.
We
got to
pass the goaltender.
Here we go. Andy and Violetta, back to you. Burglar stuck in Vancouver escape room, panics, calls 911.
Violetta, ruse or news?
I was going to say news, but that's just because it's so funny.
Everything's news. News.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. Dave, Eddie, and Dan.
Here you guys go. Loud rock music like AC/DC can hurt animals' ecosystem, but Willie Nelson has no effect, study says. So much going on there.
Oh, it's so sad for Willie. You're always... Dave.
What do you think, Eddie?
Oh, Dave. I think it's fake, I think.
I do, too. I think it's rude. I was going to say that. No, no.
Okay. True story.
Oh my God. Wow.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
Dave. Hey, listen.
I love you, Dave.
Dave, the good news is you're getting a never measure. Don't use it down there. It could hurt you. All right. Thank you, sir.
You can use it in the basement.
Yes. Exactly. Use it in the basement. But then when you call 911 and go, I think I got a laser burn.
Make for a good headline.
It's really bad. All right. Go see Eddie.
I thought it wasn't going to be that kind of a show. I love it.
Eddie Brill is going to be at Zany's tonight and tomorrow and Friday and Saturday and then Sunday. Go see him. Because it'll be after the Bears-Jets game, which he's going to, and he'll either be really cold, really wet, or really angry, or really happy.
Yeah, or both.
Or all seven of them.
Right,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And his son, Dan, is part of the show as well. So congratulations to you. Your career in comedy, sir. I need to talk to you about a few things. There's some paperwork that you're going to need to sign before you leave here, because there's a lot going on there, my friend.
Yeah.
A lot going
there
on.
There is.
Indeed.
He just happens to be pretty funny. I'm very proud of him, so
excellent.
I think you'll
awesome.
Laugh.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing better than that.
Yeah.
There isn't. Oh,
I just want Willie Nelson to be heard.
All right, everybody. Stand by. Judy Pilet, or actually, Andrea Darlis is standing by with the WGN News coming your way in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2 little minutes.